Oh, and show's coming up.
Yes.
Brian and oh, it's Muff's Head with Brian Keeley.
Hey.
I was so high the other day when we were doing a show, I couldn't even remember her name. I was like, that chick, what's her name? It would suck because I like her. She's very nice.
She's awesome.
She's a very, very nice person. And she's got a podcast on the Death Squad Podcast Network, as does our pal Kevin Pereira. Great podcast. Very funny guy. The shows you got coming up are San Francisco on Sunday and Friday and Saturday, Sacramento.
Yeah, yeah. It's Friday and Saturday, we have four shows at the Punchline in Sacramento. It's me, Sam Tripoli, and Tony Hinchcliffe.
A fine show. A fine comedy show.
A fine comedy show. And then Sunday, Cinco de Mayo, we're going to be in San Francisco at the Cobbs, which is very
good
intimidating.
Move. Get out of Sacramento for Cinco de Mayo. An excellent move.
Right. Exactly. That
no,
is a great
that's
move.
Not. Nothing wrong with some happy drunk Mexicans.
Wait, are you good at
drunk white people yeah. that are scarier.
Yeah. But you go to deathsquad.tv and there's all the links for tickets or Dick's party in my mouth.
Why are you you worried about Sunday? Why are you worried about Sunday?
Huh? I'm not worried about Sunday.
You said it's intimidating?
Oh, the club is so huge there. I remember
club,
going
man.
There with you and that there's like double layers. It's and it just goes back forever. That's so scary.
It shouldn't be scary.
No, I mean to try to be like
you know
that
it's filling it is it's tricky for sure. But the other thing that's weird about those big shows is Cobbs used to be the old Cobbs was the most intimate club in the country, and it was the smallest club that I worked because it was so cool. Like it was only I think 100 people. Like maybe at the most they did like 150 people. It was really small, and I did it a few times. And you're just in there with them. There's everyone's packed in together. You see each other. You could smell each other, you know, and it was just so perfect, a comedy club. It wasn't a tiny, tiny stage. Like a lot of New York clubs, there's a lot of small clubs in New York, and one of the issues with New York is space. And some of the clubs, the stage is so small, you're literally standing closer to the audience than I am to you.
Right.
Like you'll be standing on the table, like right. literally. And it's just too close to people. Like you don't have any room to move. And so, you know, that's fine if you're one of those upright standard monologists that just stands there and doesn't do anything. But if you want to do anything physical on stage, there's literally no room to do it.
Right. Yeah. I there was one like that in Pittsburgh where it was like a sports bar where you're basically sitting on this huge stage in the middle of this room like a square. Yeah. And it was just small enough where you felt like you would accidentally fall off at any time. And then there was people all around you kind of like in the round type thing.
Right.
But it was so hard to focus on doing comedy when you're like have a little buzz going trying to do comedy. Like it was just uncomfortable like situation.
Well, Cobbs is a great club.
Yeah, Cobbs.
And
is
even though the new one's huge, it's a badass place. It's just it's so different. I mean, I do places that are bigger. It's not that it's too big. You know, like I just did the State Theater in New Brunswick.
How was it?
Oh, it was amazing. Anybody who came out to that show, thank you so much. That was like one of the best crowds we've ever had ever at any show ever.
Really?
It was amazing. When Joey Diaz walked on stage, I was kicking myself for not recording it. It was so epic. Dude, he went on stage and people went fucking crazy.
That's awesome.
They went fucking crazy. The crowd was intense. It was so good. It was just so, it was perfect. This might have been the best set I've ever had in my life.
That's awesome.
Really, it was incredible. Incredible.
Did you eat good?
We ate good.
That's what
we had a little guts. We had a little mushtaba. A little bit of mozzarella. Yeah, this guy brought a fucking a bag filled with bread, like five loaves of bread, and a thing of mozzarella cheese, this gigantic fucking slab of cheese. And I'm not bullshitting. It was like two loaves of bread. That's how much cheese it was.
And did
it was
you try together. To eat it?
I didn't try. Joey had it. Joey fucking, he took that thing like a bear burying a caribou in the woods. It's bread and mozzarella, and he took it up to his room. He ate the shit out of that.
Oh, man.
Yeah, no, it was amazing. That was thanks to Gino. Thanks, Gino. New Jersey's awesome, man. At least that part was.
Right.
It's interesting. You know, it's weird, you know, because I was born there. It's a weird spot. Jersey is a strange spot. You know. Anyway, but what I was saying, the State Theater is much bigger than Cobbs. It's
right.
like 2,400 people or something like that.
That's insane.
It was awesome. It was fucking awesome. It's just a different kind of show. You know, It's but the intimate shows, like the ones that we do at the Ice House and like Sacramento, that's the perfect room.
Yeah, I love Sacramento.
It's the perfect room.
I want to try. What I'm trying to do is like hopefully people come out to these shows because I would like to do this like a month, every month, like on their off night, just bring a once a month, bring a couple comics up there, you know, and just
good idea. It's a great club. Yeah. It's perfect size. It's the perfect like height. It's just set up. It's, you know, it's just old school tight club, bar in the back.
Sacramento has the most beautiful women in the world.
Oh, someone's trying to get some pussy. I see what's up. How?
Boy, I'm not trying to do anything.
So easy, Brian. So easy.
No, they are, though. Sacramento women are fucking hot for some reason. I think it's like all the guys that have money used to go up north, you know, when they had money. And then all their kids, you know, got molested and they all went.
I find Northern California women to be much more interesting.
Yeah.
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 I like to talk to them more. I don't know why. I mean, that's a massive generalization, by the way, you know, but it just seemed like, I think, here's the bottom line, dude, where we live is poisoned.
It's horrible.
It's poisoned. It's poisoned. It's poisoned with like behavior, like the actors and the business and the whole idea of the chasing fame. It's like a giant methadone clinic for attention junkies. You know, that's what this area is.
It really is.
It is. It is. I mean, you just can't. There's no other way you can explain the grand percentage of self-absorbed nimwits that are just dumb people. There's no way to explain it.
Yeah, and it really sucks hanging out in certain parts more than others, like especially Hollywood.
We didn't even play the music yet. But you know what? We don't have to play any fucking music.
This episode is brought to you by Manscaped. Guys, you're responsible for taking care of you, and that means spending some time cleaning yourself up. But I know that can be a challenge, especially when you're not sure what products or razors to use. So to help you get started, I want to recommend Manscaped. They can help you take care of all your grooming needs, even when it comes to your more sensitive areas, or as our friends at Manscaped like to call them, the boys. Their trimmers, the Lawnmower 3.0 Plus, 4.0 Pro, and 5.0 Ultra are all equipped with skin-safe technology to help reduce the risk of grooming accidents. They're also waterproof and come with an LED spotlight so you can actually see what you're shaving. And I know that summer's coming, which means vacations and traveling for a lot of you. Well, Manscaped has you covered. Their trimmers come with a convenient travel case that you can easily pack and bring along. For the best you and your boys have ever looked, trust Manscaped. Get 20% off plus free shipping with the code Rogan at manscaped.com. That's 20% off plus free shipping with the code Rogan at manscaped.com. Tap the banner to learn more. Skin-safe technology does not guarantee cut protection. This episode is brought to you by ZipRecruiter. If you're looking for something to do this summer, you might want to check out some of the upcoming fights. Even better, if you can catch them up close in person. It's quite an experience. But if you want to get the best seats, you have to act fast. And that's true for a lot of things in life, especially when it comes to hiring for your business. You need to hire the most talented people you can before the competition scoops them up. And to do that, you need ZipRecruiter. And luckily, you can try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/Rogan. Got your eye on a rock star candidate? ZipRecruiter's invite to apply feature lets you cut the line. Once you review ZipRecruiter's list of the most qualified candidates for your job, you can easily invite your top choices to apply to encourage them to apply sooner. So, amp up your hiring performance with ZipRecruiter and find the best fast. See why 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/Rogan to try it for free right now. Again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/Rogan. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
Let's not play music.
Let's not play music.
Commercials are over, bitch. They've been over for a while. Okay, we don't need music.
Yeah.
Sometimes we do, but sometimes fuck it. Let's get crazy. Brian, you know, this is an idea we talked about a couple of times. We haven't done one of these in a long time, just you and me.
Yeah, I was just randomly, there was a thread on your message board. Oh, wait, we should probably get to the cameras. There was a thread on the message board that that people were like, have you ever started the podcast from number one? And you were saying earlier, like, whatever episode this is, like 300-something.
351, I think.
Yeah, times that by 3 hours. How many hours and hours? Like, it would take you, I think, over a month, I'm guessing a month and a week, I would say, to listen to it straight.
Yeah. Well, you know what podcasting sort of highlighted for me is how fucking crazy I am. Like, I never really knew how crazy I was until we started doing these podcasts. And then 351 podcasts later, I realized, like, well, how did I even do that? Like, where do I even have the time to do these fucking things? Between this and jiu-jitsu and comedy and the UFC and family stuff. How the fuck do you even have time? Like, if I didn't, you know, if it wasn't me and I had to look at it, I'm like, Jesus Christ, what's wrong with that guy?
Yeah.
Why is he doing so much shit?
You are doing a lot of shit.
Yeah, but it's all cool.
Yeah.
You know?
But you're going to burn yourself out, man.
No, I'm fine.
I feel burnout like crazy lately. Yeah. I mean,
as long as I continue working out, as long as I eat good, stay away from the sauce, get off the booze, kid. That's ruining your life.
Yeah?
Yeah, it's the sauce for sure. Because if I have a couple, go out and, you know, have a shot and a beer, even just a shot and a beer, the next day I'm like, ew. Not quite, you know, not like wrecked.
Right.
I've been wrecked for sure. Last time I was wrecked, it was Aubrey and I in Brazil. Drank absinthe, you know. Oh, yeah. Jesus Christ.
Yeah, I did that in Seattle when we had our shows up there that night.
Well, you know, we were there, and just by some freak of nature, there was these guys from New Hampshire that were there, too, that were in town. You know, I think they probably were there to see the UFC as well, and we all just started doing absinthe together. Yeah.
Fuck that shit.
Yeah.
That gives you a weird hangover.
Fuck it's, yeah, that, it does.
It's not worth it.
I got sick because I was hungover, got to the airport, felt like shit, went through all the lines and all that. So, like, my immune system was down at the worst time when you're just swarmed by other people's funk. You know, when you're at the airport, man, you're walking into, like, a fog of people's sneezes and farts and sweat. And especially when those hot airports, you know, when everybody's taking their jacket off and you're like, oh, geez, this is a fucking crock pot of stinky farts and feet and... And, you know, it's all hermetically sealed, you know. The doors only open every now and again to let people on a plane, and a little air sneaks in there from that little tunnel. But that's the only place they're getting their air from. It's a gigantic closed-off tube with no windows.
It's the worst.
Yeah, I mean, that's the airport. The airport sucks.
Smelling other people's farts on an airplane has to be one of the worst things ever, too.
Joey Diaz cut a fart so bad it made me write a blog about it. there's a blog. It's called Happy Pills. It's somewhere on my website. But Happy Pills, I wrote because I was writing this thing about people's the commercials for those antidepressants. I don't even know if they're allowed to do those anymore. But they would have commercials where people all of a sudden, like, had these lives that were so wonderful, and they were running through fields of wheat, and they were leaping through the air, and they was doing these things that made you feel, like, so happy. And while I'm in the middle of writing this, Joey Diaz cut a fart that could change the tides. Like, the ocean water would hit the wall of fart, and it would just go, no, no, no. The only person that I've ever smelled farts worse is Tate.
Ugh,
and
Tate's are the worst.
Tate's not even human.
No, that's
Tate's
all
legendary.
Manufactured sweat and drying blood and just fucking
no, nobody can go blow for blow with Tate. I've cut some horrible farts in my life, but I'm just not worthy.
Yeah.
I'm just not worthy, you know? But Joey did one on a plane, and I'm telling you, the horror of this woman behind me. First of all, I almost threw up in my mouth. It was so bad. It was so bad. And Joey fucking fans it on you.
The worst.
He fans
he always does that
he
shit.
He fans it on you, and he has no shame.
No
like,
shame.
Like, he'll cut a horrible fart and go, suka. And then you just go, oh, you motherfucker. Before the fart hit, I swear to God, I felt warm. Before it hit my nose, before the smell hit my nose, I felt like warm air. I was like, what is that? And then it hit me that it was a fart, and it was too late. I was already breathing in, trying to figure out what it was. And it just filled my mouth with this gas. This is mouth, because I was mouth breathing back then. I'm like, oh.
It was blue cheese, wasn't it?
It was death. Whatever it was.
That's why he likes blue cheese.
It's like, I pictured Joey's stomach as being like, you know, the amount of gas that it can generate. Like, if you want to have a fart contest with Joey, you're going to lose, man. If he wants to eat what you eat... You're gonna lose. You know, Tate was always eating them fucking protein bars, man. Your body doesn't digest those things.
Yeah, they don't, and it just automatically comes out. That was the worst, man. Tate's was the worst though, because every time you hung out with him, it wasn't like normal hang out with somebody else. It was always about the farts. Like, he'd get in the car with us, and we'd all have to roll down the windows because it was just nonstop farting the whole way to the airport. And then we get on the plane. It was all farting on the plane. We get off, and it's him coming into your room and farting in your room. Like, he was a big fart guy. I wonder if he ever got that, like, fixed or whatever.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know.
So I got turned on to Paris Hilton's Vines last night, and have you seen?
No.
They are probably some of the most, I don't know. I think she's pretty cute, but they all have the exact same shit in them. It's her, like, at a club, and then it's her face in the exact same angle doing the same face that's almost trippy, like almost like she doesn't exist, and they have somebody CGI her in like different scenes with a green screen. Like check this.
Let me hear
right,
it.
Right. So first there's like one just like, you know, like her. Hold on. So it's just her like doing like these weird like kind of MySpace angles, and then it's her at a club doing like a little the same kind.
Also, she's showing like what she did. That yeah. Weekend.
Like look. So I said that you see her face. She's doing her side of her angle. And then you go to this other one that looks like the same club, but it's not. It's from but she's doing like the same shit. And then here's another one. Like, it's just crazy.
What a weird thing she is, man. She's such an odd famous person.
Yeah.
She's so famous. I mean, whether she's hated or not, first of all.
I like her a lot.
I do not think she should be hated for any reason. She doesn't do anything wrong. She's not hurting anybody. And that's how I felt when people were like shitting all over her.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know, yeah, she's vapid. You know, she's doing this, going to clubs and going out and dancing and smiling. But who's that hurt?
Yeah.
Who does that hurt? You know, the only argument that I could hear that I've heard that it kind of makes sense is that she lowers standards for young girls and she gets them thinking. But you know what? That's just a part of life. People get bad influences sometimes. You know, I think if you have young kids and you communicate with them good values and you try to do the best to raise them into responsible human beings, everything after that is on them. You know, if your kid likes going to clubs, your kid likes going to clubs, okay? And if your kid wants to be Paris Hilton, this is like worst shit in life.
Right.
You know, I mean,
she's actually really intelligent.
What do you? Play crosswords with her?
No, I mean, I'm intelligent of how she became famous, you know, like what she, how she made a name of herself. You know, of course, she made a sex tape.
Well, that's been done twice now, you know. Two girls got famous
for
that.
Kardashian.
I mean, that's what Kardashian was. Kardashian was her buddy, you know.
So making a sex tape, little girls, might not be a bad thing if you want to be a rich millionaire for the rest of your life.
I think the time for that is over, though. I think it's not shocking anymore. Yeah, that was a long time ago. You know, but what's interesting about Kim Kardashian is that she, like, literally there was no introduction. No one knew who she was before that sex tape. But then she does that sex tape and, like, she's one of the most famous women on the planet. And because you don't release it, because, like, it's snuck out somehow or another, it's okay. Like, we got weird rules when it comes to sex tapes.
And the rules and the laws are a lot different than a lot of people think. Like, I heard a recent conversation with Ari, who's going to be on tomorrow, where he doesn't believe that people can't just release a sex tape. Like, if you have a tape of Paris Hilton and a guy fucking, he thinks you could just put it on the internet. No one matters. Which is not the case. All these sex tapes actually have to be signed off by one of the people in the both of the people, actually.
Both of them have to
sign up? Well, I mean, if you look at, like...
Does it vary by state?
It might, but if you look at porn, they all have to have like the right paperwork saying like this is like, you know, this person's over 18 years old and stuff like that.
Right.
And so they can't, you know, you can't really just release and sell a porn video without that.
Right.
So you kind of have to have the person assigned saying like, you know, like, yes, that's me. Yes, I'm 18 and stuff like, you know, you can't just release like a video and sell it with porn. You have to follow the same paperwork.
We'd have to ask a real porn
yeah.
producer.
Well, Kevin Blatt, who's friends with Sam Tripoli, that's what he does for a living. You know, I think he actually did the Paris Hilton tape.
And, oh, really?
Yeah, people shop tapes to him, and it's 99.9 always the person that's
God, I accidentally found this, and it's me.
Right, exactly.
With three camera angles.
Yeah.
I was reading Twitter the other day, last night, actually, and I follow so many people. I follow a lot of weird people. Don't ask me to follow you. If you ask me to follow you, I won't follow you. That's my rules. Although I've said yes a couple times. Don't do it. Don't ask. It's gross. I was looking, reading through my Twitter, and it says, anal-loving ladies. Need last-minute replacement for a scene tomorrow. Get at me here. RT, please. This is from Seymour Butts. And I'm like looking down, and like one of my tweets is like a Deepak Chopra tweet, and the other one's like a couple of MMA fighters, and then sandwiched in between that, and it's all in caps with like little stars next to anal, star, 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 anal loving ladies, star, 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 all caps. Need last minute replacement for a scene tomorrow.
That's
how many
great.
Times does that happen where a girl just calls you up the day before and goes, you know what? You can't fuck me in the ass on camera and put it on the internet. This guy's like, God damn it, I had one. I need an anal-loving lady. But do you think, I bet he puts out that thing and like immediately. There's people like contacting him.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
OMG, I love anal. OMG.
It's pretty cheap, too, if you need to if you really want to get laid, you could really just make yourself a porn company.
Well, guys have done that.
Yeah.
Yeah, guys have done that. Guys have done, I met a guy who did that. He had like a website where he would, I forget what his website was called, but he would like, have sex with girls, it would pay them, have sex with them, and it was like membership only. But this was like a long ass time ago. Like, I don't know if you could get away with that today. People don't want to buy anything.
No, I'm saying you don't even sell it. You just like
release it?
No, that's what I'm saying. You could do it.
So it would basically just be getting you laid.
That's what I'm saying.
Oh, yeah.
Because I know the rates for different girls for working. You know, if they had said that they would do it, you know. It's pretty cheap. Don't release the video.
Isn't it funny that it's like a workaround for prostitution?
Yeah.
I mean, essentially, it's a workaround. Right.
Right?
Not that I'm against it. I'm not against anything if you want to do it. If it doesn't hurt anybody else and you want to do it, I'm not against anything. I don't really care. I think that this world is so weird and there's so many things that people like that I don't understand, so many things that I like that people don't understand. Who am I to tell a chick not to be a hooker?
Right.
You know, and who am I to tell a guy not to pay for sex? How many guys have just been just fucked over their whole life, and it's just like almost too late for them to have a relationship? tell me that guy shouldn't be able to get a massage and get jerked off for $50 or $100.
$40, Joe.
$40, whatever.
Top of the house.
That's what you hear. That's what you hear. It's allegedly. Allegedly, ladies and gentlemen. I want to be very clear about that. But, like, if you think about it, you know, why shouldn't there be an option for that guy where he can just pay for someone to rub him? Because I go get massages, and massages are, especially if you get it from someone who's really good at it, it's like very pleasurable, you know? And sometimes it's like a guy who's doing it. It's like horrific.
No, I've never had a guy I would not
feeling
do that.
Great pleasure from a man. There's this weird bonding thing going on.
Do you massage naked?
Almost always.
Well, with a guy.
No, I keep my underwear on, son.
Oh, no, I always do naked. But
just in case I have to Valley Tudo my way out of there. I got some little Valley Tudo shorts. I'm like Mario Sperry in the 90s.
I was driving by a palm reader last night, and I've been noticing more and more. I've been just looking at palm readers because there's a lot of psychics here in L.A. And I remember it in Ohio here and there. But one thing I noticed, they're always open like 24 hours a day. It would be like 2 in the
psychics.
Morning, and they have lights on. It looks like they live there also. There's
right.
an open sign. And I'm wondering if psychics are something that you learn when you're older, like when you're like 70 or 80, and you're like, oh, no, you go to a psychic to fuck You know, like I think there's something going on. Because who's?
No, there's a lot of people. You'd be really, really surprised. There's a lot of people who believe in psychics.
Really? But
yeah.
For them, why is the? See, that's the thing. There's things I don't understand. Like, I don't understand that. I don't understand why donut drive-through places are so popular at four. Like, they're all donut places are open on times at night. You know, that doesn't really make sense.
No, Krispy Kreme, are they open 24 hours a day?
I don't know, but
that's the only one that matters.
Krispy Kreme had a line.
I think they are.
Like 40 people deep last night in Burbank.
Of course they did. They're doing it right.
What? How is that possible?
It's just donuts. Fucking delicious, especially because some of those freaks who are real crazy Krispy Kreme people, they know when the warm ones come out. Like,
oh,
they have, like,
that's
apps. I bet they have an app. If they don't have an app, they should have an app. It alerts you warm donuts within 5 minutes. Because if you get them, I don't want to tell you, look, if you're on a diet right now, all I've eaten all day today, folks, is a kale shake, okay? Be clear about this. For the most part, I eat healthy, and you should too. But if you want a real next level experience when it comes to eating sweet shit that's bad for you, those Krispy Kreme donuts that come right out of the oven. If you can be there when it happens.
That's what it must have been.
God damn, dude, I'm telling you, they melt in your mouth. You sink your teeth into them. They have the perfect consistency. It's not too firm. It's not like a brownie,
right.
You know, but it's a strange thing, man. And you take bites of this thing and the sugar level is out of this fucking world. Okay, it's covered in sugar. The whole thing is glazed. The outside glaze is all sugar. It's sugar and old caramel. It hits you. Who just turned the thing off?
Yeah, what was that?
What happened?
That was weird.
Yeah, what was that, man? My shit's off. That was weird. Anyway, it couldn't taste any better. It literally couldn't taste any better. Jamie, it was when you started touching that iPad, but that's not possible. That's not hooked up to anything, right?
It must have been this. I don't know.
Well, whatever it was.
And that's probably what it was, because it was out of this road. I was like, there was a line out into the street, like, and into this busy street.
I don't want to encourage you to have a new addiction.
Oh, my God.
But if you can go there, we should go there. You should go there, sit inside with a laptop. And just do a little work. And then say, just let me know when them warm ones come out.
Weird.
And those warm ones come out, you run after them.
It's funny because
you fight for them.
I wanted to make a Vine about it because there was like six cop cars. Of like the 30 cars. It was six. I'm like, this is so hilarious.
Well, you know what? If I was a cop, I'm out there freaking out all day, worried I'm going to get shot. How am I going to come home to my kids? I would enjoy a little sweet tooth, too. I would enjoy a little donut. The reason why cops like donuts is because they have to reward themselves for swimming around in a world of shit.
I got a new addiction, man. You got to check this out. There's a lot of different kinds of apps that you can get on your phone, but one of the best ones, especially since like this Boston shit, was looking at police scanners. And I don't know if you like dig into that or not, but last night I was driving home and there were so many cops in Burbank. Like there's usually like two cops in Burbank. There was like cops like driving all over the place. I was like, something's going on, right? Whoa. And so I turn on the police scanner in my car while I'm driving, and it's so funny. They were talking about me, and I was like, we had a black Volkswagen Beetle license plate. And then I'm like, what the fuck are they saying? And I guess they were looking for a car, and the cop just like kind of pulled up and started driving next to me while I was listening to the police scanner over my speakers on my phone.
No.
And I'm like,
no.
But they didn't end up doing anything like that. I don't even know what they were talking about. So I get home, and it was so interesting listening to that for 2 hours, because they were talking about streets in my neighborhood. Like, this woman's like, we have a break-in. She's hiding in the bathroom. There's somebody inside the house. And they're like, this is their seventh time doing it this week. She's an elderly woman. There's probably not going to be anyone there. You know, it's like they were just like talking about it. But it's so interesting to listen to that. And especially it's interesting to listen to it while you're driving, you know, late at night.
Yeah.
Because they will talk about you on the police scanner. It's so crazy. And Freddie Lockhart actually uses it. He says, this is pretty funny, when he is in like in a bad neighborhood or something like that.
Right.
He'll turn on the police scanner, like turn on really loud, like speakerphone style, put it in his pocket. So it kind of sounds like he has like a police presence on him, you know, like so if people were like who the fuck's this guy?
Wow.
So yeah, police scanner, it's a free app.
So he puts it in his pocket so people think he's got a radio on him.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh my God.
So I was like, that's a good idea for girls or ladies, like if they're in a bad neighborhood, throw that in your purse.
Unless a dude get really turned on by cops.
Yeah, or hates cops really badly.
This episode is brought to you by Simply Safe. With summer coming up, I bet a lot of you have plans to travel, which is great. You should get out and experience the world. But I also know how stressful traveling can be. That's why I want to recommend Simply Safe. It provides award-winning security and peace of mind so you can have one less thing to worry about when you're away from your home this summer. I think SimpliSafe is a great option for home security because it protects your whole home, inside and out. It has a variety of cameras and sensors to detect the worst of the worst, including fires, floods, break-ins, and more. SimpliSafe has your back, and I especially like how there's no contracts and a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you can try it out confidently and really see if SimpliSafe is a good fit for you and your place. Everyone deserves to have peace of mind when they're away from home, and SimpliSafe can help give you that. So try it out today. Right now, get 20% off any new SimpliSafe system with Fast Protect monitoring at simplisafe.com/Rogan. That's simplisafe.com/Rogan. There's no safe like SimpliSafe.
Yikes.
Is it
legal?
Huh?
The scanner thing?
It has to be. It's on the iPad.
How did it used to? Oh, yeah, right?
Yeah.
Right? It's a real legit.
Yeah, there's tons of apps.
They have to approve those, right? I think that's good that Apple approves apps. I think it's bad because there's a lot of shit, I'm sure, that gets censored. Mm-hmm. You know, like some fucking crazy asshole wants to have, like, beheadings only as an app.
All right.
You know, all the beheadings for the past year, because there's always a bunch of them on the internet. But, you know, Apple's like, no, you sick fuck. You got to get that on your own.
There's a website right now that's devoted to Google apps. I think it's created by, I want to say, Bing did it.
We never talked about Google Glasses.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's true.
Yeah, my friend let me try out her Google Glasses. And it was, first of all, it was really weird. Because to be able to try something out that no one has yet.
Right.
You know, I think developers have them now.
Right.
And I'm going to get one. But this was a long time ago, the first time I saw them. The first time I saw them was over 6 months ago. But the first time I tried them out, excuse me, sorry about that, folks. Jamie, can I get a quote? The first time I actually tried it out was this past week, and it was really, they're really weird.
All right, so they're like clear glasses that cover up your eyes.
No.
What is it?
No, it's just a frame. It's a frame in the right corner. I don't know if it's reversible. You can see there's a picture of it on my Instagram. Instagram. I saw Lewis Black this weekend. Mm-hmm. And one of the things he was talking about was Instagram. Like how crazy it is that they got $1 billion for Instagram. It's pretty funny for what Instagram does. But I don't even know why I use it, you know? I just started using it because people say, hey, do you have an Instagram? I'm like, I guess. Okay, I'll get one. And then Everlast made us start using it.
Yeah, I started not using it as much lately anymore because of the other one.
How many characters do you get on
Vine.
Instagram?
As much as you want, I think.
So you can, it's like a tweet.
Or at least.
And then people click on it and they go to it. And it's almost
right.
Like a twit longer with a picture.
Yeah.
Twit longer is annoying. Remember that shit? Do people who still use that? People who still use that, you're really missing the point. So, for real. There's
Wait,
a reason.
Longer.
Yeah, there's a reason why they're trying to limit you to 140 characters. Because most people are boring, verbose motherfuckers who just never know when to stop. And these crazy twit longer fuckers.
All right, so it's...
Okay, so you see that, my right eye? Uh-huh. See that thing, that little piece of glass? No, there's no glass there.
Okay.
That's
oh,
just my
thing.
Face. Yeah, that's...
So the whole thing is this,
exactly.
Right here.
Exactly. Exactly. So it's not a pair of glasses. It sits on your nose like glasses, but there's nothing over one eye.
It seems like they can make a design that doesn't have like this, because this just looks like the from The Jerk, you know, like the,
right.
The glasses from the movie. That kind of almost looks weird.
Like, well, that little thing that you see that you
right
got
here.
Your cursor over, yeah, that is the little window that you see everything. And so you swipe it. The way it works is by swiping forward and swiping down.
Mm-hmm.
And you talk to it. And it does everything on voice.
So you swipe your hand in front of you. Like,
yeah.
Like
I did Google searches and it worked. Like it was amazing. Like I said, I think you say like, okay, glass or something like that.
Right.
And then I, God damn it. I got to stop doing that. I'm so sorry, folks. That'll be the last one. I promise. It's bulletproof coffee. It coats your throat. I never drink bulletproof coffee before I go on stage, but I drink it before I do podcasts.
Is that what it is? Because
yeah,
you've been doing
it
a lot lately.
It coats your throat.
Yeah, but isn't that good? Doesn't that make you not cough because it's all oiled up? And
no,
oily?
It's like there's a lot of, like, there's grass-fed butter in there. and it gives you this like residue sort of thing. And when you start talking, it makes me want to.
Right.
So probably a bad idea.
How's your cholesterol and stuff?
It's all groovy.
Okay. Because that butter is not going to fuck anything up.
No. Butter? You know, cholesterol comes from animal protein.
Oh, okay. What's butter then? Like, butter does something.
Butter comes from animals. Butter has cholesterol, but almond butter is not butter.
Right.
It's like almond paste. You know, I don't think it has any butter in it.
But almonds are a lot of fat in it.
I should actually find out what's in almond butter. Oh, but the fat that it's in is good.
That's all good fat.
Yeah. Almond butter ingredients. Hmm.
Now, you're
like, good fat. Hmm. Well, there was a video that I watched the other day. It was kind of interesting with this one guy who eats nothing but raw food and fats. And he was like an older guy. And he eats raw meat. And he was having raw buffalo and raw hamburger. And he was just eating it and eating it with chunks of raw butter in between. Yeah. What?
Now, these Google glasses, do they record everything the whole time? Because there is a camera. It looks like a camera. Yes, so you can constantly film, record.
You can take pictures. I did that, too. I took pictures with it.
Oh, that's cool.
It's weird, dude. It's weird.
It would be cool if this constantly always recorded and everybody wore them, because then that would be interesting. Like, during times of tragedy, everyone would have, like 500 people would have their view of what happened. You know what I mean?
It's a very interesting thing. To have them on and see, like, a navigation screen in front of you. I did that as well.
Does it take over your whole vision?
No, you have to search for it. You, like, I can look at you right now, and it's fine, but if I go like this, there it is. And then I look at you, and I can see right through it, but then I look here, there it is. It's a very small area where, I mean, it's not like you lose it. You definitely could find it anytime you want, but it's a very small area which this image exists. So you could kind of look around away from that area. That's why the idea is that you could have them on and walk, because you could see everything in front of you.
I wonder if there's any long-term effects from that, because, you know, like if you think about like looking at a computer screen, you're straining your eyes because it's kind of close and a lot of people tell you to look far away every like hour or so, just so your eyes like focus on.
Right.
I wonder if this becomes really popular where there's going to be people just constantly staring at that, and you're going to have a lot of different eye problems.
That's a good question. And then there's also the radiation question, because cell phones emit radiation, and most folks are not aware that if you go and research what the cell phones, what the radiation, how much radiation it gives out and what's an acceptable level.
Right.
Yeah. Most folks aren't aware that there's that they have like a whole, you know, a list of like measured radiation effects coming off of cell phones. But one of the big ones is, one of the big weird parts of that is that you're supposed to keep the phone away from your head in order for it to meet with the standards for radiation or whatever the fuck it is that comes off of them. You're supposed to have it like right here.
So you're saying you're supposed to put it on speakerphone and black people are smarter
than us. Exactly. They're way smarter than us. It's that whole thing. By the way, when we talked about that on the podcast, I got angry tweets from black people. You can't, because it's not just black people. It is white people, too. But it's only white people who want to be black people. You know, those are the people that also talk in public on speakerphone. Yo, where you at, dog? Where you at, cuz? We're down here holding it down at the mall.
I think it's fucked up, because I don't wonder how many times I've talked to somebody not knowing they were doing that. And I was like, wait a second.
Yeah, and you're talking shit.
Yeah.
Hey, let's go get some gay sex.
Hey, have you heard of
Brian, I want to introduce you to my mom and dad. It looks like it's just smushed up almonds. I think that's what almond butter is.
Well, yeah, like almond milk is just almonds. I think it's like peanut water, isn't it?
I don't know. Maybe they add some shit to it, too. They must add some shit to it. I don't know. I don't have time to look at this. But there's fats that are good for you and fats that are not good for you. You know, like the kind of fats you get in like an avocados, those are good for you.
Yeah, and they still make you fat, though. I mean, they still give you fat.
The other fats are good for you, too, if you need them especially. Like the fat that comes from animals, like is in, especially like grass-fed animal fat, it's supposed to be really healthy for your skin. Like there's something about certain fats, you know, and fats that come from animals apparently have a positive effect on the elasticity of your skin. I don't know if that makes any sense. But it makes sense to me that it's so delicious. If it's so delicious, like, your body must have some need for it, you know? And I know that cholesterol plays a part of brain function, too.
Like chocolate?
I don't know if that's totally been misunderstood or understood. Let me find out. cholesterol. That's something that people are always worried about, right? And blood pressure. How's my blood pressure, dog? Don't lie to me, doc. How am I doing over here?
Yeah, I just got a physical recently and everything checked out, which is weird because I eat so random. Like, sometimes I do have pizza. Some days I have kale. Some days I have, you know, what's that, quinoa that never digests, and when I wipe my butt, it falls out in a bunch of pieces like it's trying to run away.
Well, maybe that's your body just rejecting healthy things.
Do you digest kale? Like, mine comes out like corn
style. Kale or quinoa?
Or, I mean, I'm sorry, quinoa. Like,
yeah,
comes out like corn style, where it's like, did anyone have even touched this
maybe
shit?
Maybe you're getting different kinds of quinoa than I am. I'd have to look at your quinoa. I've had quinoa salads before. I like that. Those quinoa cakes.
Yeah. Oh,
it's
I
good
love
stuff.
Quinoa. Yeah.
It's like one of the most, for as far as plant proteins, one of the more complete proteins. I think it's one of the few that's actually completely complete. I think it's like right up there with hemp protein, which is like a very complete protein for a plant protein. Like some proteins, they don't have all the amino acids. They don't have everything. That like there's different kinds of proteins. That's why like people that are like strong vegan advocates, they especially like health and fitness nuts, they recommend you mix up the different foods and combine like different types of proteins. You know like maybe broccoli. Broccoli is like an incomplete protein, but broccoli has protein in it. And you know then throw in the powerful shit like quinoa and hemp. Both of them are like, I think hemp has all the essential amino acids. Pretty sure.
Yeah, I had hemp milk the other day.
And if you have that stuff, folks, it does. Just to let you know, you don't fail tests. You don't fail drug tests.
Right.
A lot of people worry about that, like, because hemp protein is, it's so much easier on my body, at least. I love, like, muscle milk. That shit is delicious.
Yeah, it is.
That shit's delicious. But that shit makes my asshole a weapon. You know, I can't claim Tate status or even Joey Diaz status, but when I drink too much of that whey protein, that backs me out.
Here's my new favorite thing. You can actually get it on Amazon. A pack of 12 is $20. It's Go-Go Rice Organic Quinoa, and it's these little like,
oh, you
bowls.
Microwave it?
You don't need, they're already cooked. You just open up and eat it. But what I do is, yeah, I put spray some, I can't believe it's not butter on it. And maybe throw in some turkey bacon, and I just put in the microwave there, and it's like the perfect meal, and it's not bad for you, it's good for you, it's so easy, it's like you could just eat it, like you don't even have to cook it, it's already cooked,
right?
It's great though.
So that shit's very good for you too.
Yeah.
And by the way, if you know how to spell it, you're an asshole.
Yeah, right.
If you know how to spell that?
No way.
Unless you're a cook.
Yeah.
Or someone who deals with it professionally.
It's Q-U-I-N-O-A.
Yeah, how the hell do you know? And if you know how to say it, you're an asshole.
Quinoa.
Including me. I'm an asshole because I know how to say it. Quinoa is like a pretentious food. It's very pretentious.
I think it's good. I'm a rice fan, so to me it just tastes like rice. I like it.
I love it. However, there's a pretentious thing to it. I don't know what it is. But when you say, I'm going to have some quinoa, I'd like to have some quinoa. It's like I picture you with like wooden beads on, you know.
Yeah, kale's like that to me because that just seems like it's completely out of control right now. There's kale everywhere nowadays.
It's a real superfood, though.
Yeah.
It's fucking delicious, man.
Except I've been hearing it's dangerous to eat raw, which is weird.
There's what people I think are worried about is there's a small percentage of folks that get affected by a certain fungus that can grow on quinoa or on kale.
Right.
Yeah. Let's see.
I guess that fungus is pretty common.
Okay. Let's pull that up. Eat raw kale.
Yeah.
Kale danger.
Yeah. There's a.
Because I just had some.
There's some really good kale going on at Robex. I don't know if we've talked about that. There's a. They have a lot of good kale smoothies or juices now. Lately. Tropicale's the best.
I don't like kale shakes.
You don't?
No. But I like how they make me feel.
Yeah.
They're boring, though. I wanted to have bacon and eggs this morning. This is like this, the Rob Wolf style way of doing it, like paleo. Mm-hmm. But I knew how to work out in an hour. And the difference between bacon and eggs and a kale shake is fucking tremendous as far as like your ability to work out like afterwards. Like a kale shake, I could basically work out right away unless I haven't done my morning dookie yet. Because if you get a kale shake in you, son, you are shitting within the next 20 minutes, whether you like it or not. And it's coming out like it's being chased by zombies. It's like World War Z in the toilet bowl. And that's no bullshit, man. Those kale shakes, it's just sludge. You know, kale shake is just green vegetable, like a cleaner. It's just like grinding out all the stuff that's in its way. Just a giant blob of a universally sized. So it's all like your tube instead of like chunks of meat and shit stumbling down there. There's no like chunks of anything. It's one giant stuffed tube of green liquid. And celery and cucumber and garlic. And the garlic is just gangsters, just killing everybody. Anybody that's anywhere, it's like the Mongol hordes. Because garlic is like fantastic. If you ever have anything wrong with your stomach, take garlic.
I fucking love garlic.
It's incredible for like food poisoning. If you feel like shit, you got a stomach flu, eat cloves of garlic. It's hard to do. Because you chew on those things and you're like, whoa, like a big-ass raw clove of garlic. To just toss it in your mouth and start chewing it, it's pretty intense.
I cook it a little.
You don't want to cook it, man. You want it raw. That's where all the nutrition comes in. That's where the sting comes from. As soon as you start cooking it, you lose all that sting. And I think that sting of eating the raw garlic is just what's just gangster. Just goes into your body and starts, it's like a fucking sword-wielding barbarian. Just hacks up all the shit in your body. I think that's like one of my favorite remedies ever for like anything that's ailing my stomach. Garlic fucking cleans everything out. And you just the shits that come out when you eat like cloves of garlic, it's like literally like a bunch of bodies being dropped off like a bulldozer pulls up. Deed, deed.
That's hilarious.
It's just all dead bacteria that the garlic assassinated inside your bacterial tract. Digestive tract, rather. Yeah, that's a weird thing that we have to have those little things inside of us. You have to have them. If you don't have them, you're sick.
Yeah.
You have to have a community in your body. It's pretty weird. I mean, did you even know that until you were like, I was like 30, I think, when I found that out.
Oh, yeah. Later than that for me.
But just stop and think about that. Living your whole life, and then one day you go, what's in me? Flora. What? Skin? Acidophilus. It's a live culture.
Doesn't that seem more important to you to teach your kids things like that instead of like shit like, this guy rode a horse and told the whole town people are coming and we should do a whole report about this guy?
Well, I don't know if we really knew about it. Like, when did they really know about bacteria in the human body? Yeah, but I mean,
there's so many things that they don't teach you growing up that are so fucking important, like credit cards. Finance charges, things like that. Like when I got my first credit card, I was still in high school. I was like, what? $500 credit limit? I could buy whatever I want. $500 laser disc player. And then next thing I know, I'm like, oh, I don't have any money. I'm just going to wait a couple months. And next thing I know, I ruined my whole entire credit by the age of 19. And you know why? Because they didn't teach that in high school. And then credit card companies just gave me a credit card right fresh, you know.
But guess what? If they taught you, you wouldn't listen.
true, but unless that at the end of the class that we all signed up to get credit cards.
Well, I think though that it also represents the fact that whole thing was fairly new back then. Credit cards and credit issues and people having credit problems is fairly new.
Yeah, but in the 90s, I mean.
Yeah, but the 90s is, look, I know a guy. A guy, his name was International Sal, and I know I've talked about him before. He was a guy that I used to know from my pool hall days, and he was one of the first guys to go to jail for credit card fraud. He was the first guy, or one of the first guys, to figure out that you could take the imprints, like when someone would make a credit card, you could take them and then take that number and then go print your own separate card. And then when you print your own separate card, you just go off like a rocket. Just, you know, you got your own separate shit printed and you just start fucking charging up a storm. And then by the time this guy gets the bill, it's too late. Well, these guys would do that. They would take these cards and then they would buy things, like gigantic things. And then they would bring those things back and get money. They would go, yeah, you know what? I bought it. I didn't like it. So they bring them back and then boom, they got all this money. So they're using these credit cards and getting paid back cash or they're selling the items that they buy. Like they'll buy a car and then sell it for 20 grand, you know, and sell it once they sell it too. I mean, I don't know how the fuck you can't track it, but this was a long ass time ago. I met the guy in 92 and he had just gotten out of jail, or maybe he got out of jail in 93, somewhere around that. And this guy made millions. He was a loser at gambling. I mean, I say that in the most respectful way possible because he was a very nice guy. What I mean is that he would find a way to lose. It was the weirdest thing I've ever seen in my life. He used to bet big, big money, and he would be down on the ball, and it'd be the very last nine ball, and you see his arm shaking, and he looks at it, and just drives it right into the rail. And you would swear that no one could ever miss that shot, but he would find a way to miss it. And he played good pool. He played good, but he was just addicted to losing. It's like, for whatever reason, he had a psychological block that he couldn't overcome when he came to winning money. I don't think I ever saw him win. Maybe one time I think I saw him win some money, but that was like probably somebody laid down on him to try to get him to raise the bet for the next time. And he would gamble away millions of dollars. So he would be at the pool hall. Okay, these guys would come in literally with bags of money. Like, he had the whole thing set up, making the credit cards, putting his guys in the street, and they come back with cash and they divvy it up. He said guys were coming back with just bags and bags and bags of money. And so when, you know, people were calling him International Sal, because apparently they were buying shit in Paris and buying shit in England, and they'd take fucking plane flights with these credit cards, and no one could track anything back then. You couldn't find out who they were. Back then, you got on a plane, you didn't even have to show an ID. You just got on a plane. Like, when I used to travel for Taekwondo tournaments when I was a kid, I didn't have any ID. You didn't need ID. Nobody had ID. You just get on a plane and go. I flew across the country. Just all I did is show up. I don't think I had a fucking driver's license. I think not only that, if we got to the gate, I was like, you know what, dude? I don't want to go. Here, take my ticket. You can go. You would be able to go. You would be able to get right on that fucking plane.
That'd be awesome.
That'd be awesome. The people used to sell tickets. You should be able to sell a ticket. Like, does anybody want my ticket? I'm, you know, you'd be able to put it in the paper.
Did you ever fly when there was smoking on the plane? Because
yes.
I don't remember
yes.
ever doing it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I remember that clearly. Like, I remember it being sad and twisted. You know, you're looking
so
back at
up.
This cloud of smoke, and these people are absorbing it with no recourse. And the idea that it's going to be contained in the back area of this fucking tube of recircled air. It's recirculated. It's the same air is used over and over and over again. Like, you're going to get that smoke in your body no matter if you're in the front or the back. That smoke's getting you. It's at least a little bit of it.
Somebody just contacted me from my past the other day.
Dude you used to fuck?
No. When I was in high school, I worked at this movie theater as a projectionist, and this other guy that was in college, and he was like one of these guys that smoked. He's the one that introduced me to marijuana when I was like 15. Like, 15.
Be careful what you say, because that's illegal.
I'm not going to say who it is.
Okay. They might hold you over the fire until you tell the truth.
Right. And he used to invite us to his college parties. And, like, every weekend, we would party with college people. And we're in, like, 15, 16 years old. We just got our driver's license.
No.
I think I've told in the past how I took all these shots of Everclear once. And
yes.
I got pulled over, and the cop gave me money for coffee and just told me to sit in my car. Same person.
That was when you were in high school that happened?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, my God. What a crazy cop.
Yeah, I know.
That cop is nuts, man. Maybe he's just been there, done that.
Yeah. I don't know. But one thing I remembered, though, I think they were all Italian, all the guys. Like, and the more you know about Ohio, there's a lot of, like, mafia and stuff, like, in Ohio.
Oh,
but
yeah.
I think they all were kind of in that group, you know? Looking back at it now.
You were just super high.
And, right, right.
You're like a paranoid. Everyone's in the mafia.
No. But just looking back at it, it just seemed like it was. But, he would have these, like, pretty big parties every weekend. And his friend would come into town from Youngstown or something like that every weekend.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And his sister was, like, I thought she was okay, but she was not the prettiest girl. And she was, like, a little older than me. She was, like, 3 years older than me. And he would bring his sister down just so she can fuck me, because she doesn't get attention or get any guys from where she lives. So she would come in the room, they would come in there and be like, and I'd be like, oh, hey, how's it going? And then later that day at night, we'd go up to the guy that lives there's room and we'd fuck. And it was really weird because we never else talked throughout the whole day, you know.
What?
And I just would fuck his sister for him.
And you didn't talk to her?
Not really. Just that. Like when we fucked, but like I didn't like ever know have her phone number. I never like
wow.
like. And the more I'm looking back, I think I'm blocking a lot of shit. Because like I was thinking about this because I was like, why did I never get that girl's number? Why did I never talk to her? I would only remember I fucked her like maybe 10 times. And she would only be in town once in a while. And every time it was always like, all right, let's go upstairs. And
well, sometimes that's just how it is. That's the relationship. Sometimes that's how it is. Like, you don't have a lot in common. You don't want to talk, but you like to fuck each other.
But I remember him going the first time, like, hey, my sister, you know, you want to go up there? You want to fuck her? You can do it. Trust me, dude, she wants it. She, you know, she's very lonely. She's a nice girl. And I remember doing it. And then it became a thing where every weekend he would bring her. So weird.
So she likes some dick, and you were giving her some dick. Why you want to overanalyze things?
Because it's so weird looking back at shit, you know, that you completely blocked out your whole entire life.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Totally. And then, like, looking back, like, why was I doing this?
Well, not only that, like, your memories are so weird anyway.
Yeah.
Memories are just, whenever one says, like, I remember, like, the clearest things that I remember ever in my life, I could tell people, but I can't say for certainty how much of what I'm saying is what I remember
right.
and how much I'm saying is what I remember saying about what I remember, you know, like how much, like traumatic moments for one thing, like a lot of people that have been through some fucked up shit, whether it's a violence situation or, you know, a car accident or anything where you really remember it. When you go back and try to like, especially if it's more than like 10 years old, if you go back and try to recreate it, when you're explaining it to people, like, if someone could see your memories, they would go, oh, that's all you're working with here? Like, Jesus Christ, you barely remember this fucking thing at all. Like, if I could see your actual memories, I'd be like, oh, yeah, that car looks red. And, yeah, you have some words that you've memorized about what happened. But your actual you know the facts. You know the facts right. as far as, like, you know, where you were and what took place. But as far as, like, you remembering what actually happened and seeing it, unless it's a while ago, it's hard to beat off the girls that you fucked a decade ago.
Yeah.
Think about that.
Yeah. I can't do
it. Do you think you could?
No.
If I don't think you, well, you could. I mean, obviously, you could beat off the girls that you fucked when you were 16, but you're going to be making it all up.
Right. Well, know? I mean, I have a videotape of me as 15.
So. Don't tell the people.
Am I allowed
that
to watch myself?
No, it's illegal. I think it's child pornography.
Really?
I'm pretty sure.
I can't watch myself. I mean, I don't have this video.
Well, not only can you not watch it, it's illegal for you to have it. In fact, there's a bit in my act that I'm doing about a girl who got arrested for child pornography because she was sending boys in her class pictures of her pussy. They arrested her with child pornography, and they had to acquit her of that, but they charged her with the use of a criminal tool. And that criminal tool was a cell phone.
Well, mine is just solo masturbating, so I don't, they can go after me. What? Watch.
I think it's illegal.
That would be weird, dude, if you get arrested.
Dude's like really into. Well, dude, that girl got arrested. Like, it really has happened.
That's so weird.
It's just one of those literal translations of the law where
right.
it doesn't make sense. You know, the girl, she was sending. The idea, I guess, is that she shouldn't be doing that, and they have to stop her because pedos could get a hold of it and just start beating off.
That's true.
That's what the idea is that this boy probably has a big mouth, can't believe this girl's sending her picture around everybody in the class. And so, you know, next thing you know, he puts it on, you know, iliketofuckkids.com, and then boom. Hey, whoever you are, don't put iliketofuckkids.com and then forward that shit to my website. You sons of bitches. Don't you fucking dare.
That's actually a good idea.
I just
want to
stop it
idea.
In its tracks because right. I know someone already thought of it. You're like, I thought of it first.
Buying domains and pointing it towards people. And like, look what he believes in.
And it's a forward. Yeah, well, you know, that's one of the things that this guy, I don't want to say his name, because I don't know what the fuck actually happened. I don't know what he's actually guilty of, so I'll not say his name. But he was involved in a sex scandal, and he bought the domain name, his name, and then the word rape behind it, like right afterwards, so nobody else could get it.
Right.
You know, which is kind of crazy. Like, and then, you know, everybody was like, wow, why'd you do that? Like, you're marketing your truth You know, you're like, when a guy like gets in trouble for something, and then you realize that everything he's saying, as far as like talking about it and discussing it, is like a marketing strategy. If he's like a professional marketer, you know, you immediately go, wait a minute, man. Marketers, the whole thing is weird, because like, I like to know about cool shit, you know, and if I see a commercial for like a new phone, they're explaining to me all the different stuff it does. I'm like, ooh, oh, I love it. That's great. I love it. But when I see like scams, like the same guy had this thing promoting a player lifestyle, and it was, you were going to get advice. It was like $5,000 for like 3 days in Vegas, and you were going to get advice from this dude who is this super wizard when it comes to economics. He just knows how to do it. And the guy lives in the middle of the desert. Like, he's a recluse. He never comes out. He's a genius. But, you know, I have to deal with his bullshit because he's so smart. And he is the reason why I'm so successful. And he can make you successful, too. And like, then he has this email from the guy. And the email from the guy is like, you know, only send me real players. You know, not chicken shits and panty waste, and only people ready to push in all their chips right now. You know, and this guy, this stupid thing that he sent, turns out to be a draft. So he never really received this email from the guy. The photo that he put on his website is of a draft. So people look at it like, you wrote that yourself. Like, you wrote that yourself. You made a letter to yourself pretending you're this other guy who's this economic wizard. And you think I'm so fucking dumb that I look at that and I don't know it's a draft where it says save as, like the whole, like, and everyone's like, that's a draft. That's what it looks like. It's on an email. So he says, he had to address this because the internet goes crazy. He says, well, which is, the truth is actually stranger than fiction. You're not going to believe this, but this guy is so crazy that he didn't want to send me an email with that information because he thought it could be intercepted. So he sent me an email of a picture that he took of that email. Like, how fucking dumb is that excuse? That you think that if someone can intercept an email, they can't intercept an email with a picture in it?
Right.
And a picture of an email? That's impossible to read. Thank God you fucking compressed it into JPEG form. It's not like anybody has a JPEG reader. What the fuck are you even talking about, man? And this guy had this whole scam planned before his like situation blew up. This sexual, we'll call it a sexual situation. But watching that or reading rather that website that was dedicated to players. Let me see if I can find it, man. I think it's like the pure playerlifestyle.com. Hold on.
Catherine Zeta-Jones just checked herself in for bipolar disorder.
I wonder if that's true. If you sucked Michael Douglas's dick for 10 years, you would be bipolar.
No, I was just saying, or Michael Douglas is a pimp. Like, he's just like, no, just you're crazy, woman.
What kind of sperm he's shooting into her? What kind of pills he's on?
Poor girl.
Yeah. Player lifestyle seminar.
Yeah. Sucks.
Yeah, that sucks. It sucks whenever anybody goes crazy. And that's a
she's hot too.
Go to the realplayerlifestyle.com. She's still hot, dude. Yeah. She was in a movie recently that I watched where she played a lesbian what was it? A therapist for some crazy bitch. I think it was called Side Effects. Scroll up. I don't want to show a picture of the dude's face, but too late.
Well, you already said the website.
I didn't say his name.
Oh, no.
I don't know what happened. See, this is my take on it. I don't know what happened. I don't know. You know, I don't know what the fuck happened. But this shit, this website shit, is not good. It's not indicative of a person of fine character. This is indicative of a person who's trying to rip people off. And you looking at it, and you see where it says, it shows the email.
Yeah.
And look at the bottom. It's like an explanation for the email. Read it. It explains like why, you know, people say, you know, could you read it? I can't read that. Because when it's blown up on the screen, I can't read it at all.
You want me to read the last thing?
No, 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 no. There's like a disclaimer like why it's a JPEG of a picture. Yeah, I'm gonna find it. Don't worry about it. I'll find it. I'll read it. It's hilarious. It's so stupid. I mean, it's just so silly.
Interesting.
Yeah. It's like the whole idea is that, and but not only that, he calls the guy Mr. X. And the guy's photo on the website is like a hat in front of his eyes.
Oh, yeah.
It's so dumb. It's like, it's really designed for like the dumbest of dumb people. It's really designed for desperate people that are like mentally challenged. Two fundamental money-making secrets I've held back for years. And fundamental money-making is all in capital letters. Years is in capital letters that are the most responsible for virtually all the financial success I've had in my life. The idea that people say, like, there's a place that you meet me at this place, okay, and I'm going to tell you the secret. I'm going to tell you how to get rich. You know, this could be done, like, the right way. Where you could, like, have a seminar, and I'm sure they do, where you go and you talk to, like, business experts who give you strategies that you can employ in your business, you know? Chances that, you know, or places where they tell you what chances to take and, you know, what's what has paid off for them, what's a good strategy as far as marketing. And, like, that's without a doubt you can learn at a seminar for something like that. There's a lot of experts out there that are really good at that shit. But the type of person that would write this, this is not indicative of the type of person who has, like, a lot of great advice to give out. This is a type of website that's indicative of a person who's trying to rip you off. This is a person who's just trying to lie to you and get tons of cash from you. It's crazy.
Well, there's a lot of scam artists, a lot of pyramid scams that have to do with all kinds of.
Listen to this when they busted him on the draft. He goes, some people asked me why is this a draft of an email? I asked Mr. Crazy Pants the same question. Well, now you get to see even more so why he's such a pain in the ass in capital letters. And the truth is really stranger than fiction. ... He typed out the email on his laptop, crossed out his name and email addy, and then turned it into a JPEG and sent it to me in a blank email. Blank is in capital letters. Blank email, as if there's such a thing as a blank email. He told me it has a JPEG in it. That's just not blank. I was like, what the fuck, bro? And then he told me he didn't want to send it as an email because someone might intercept it. Really? In capital letters? Trust me, he's worth the hassle, but he's full on Looney Tunes.
Wow. He tried to trick him with a JPEG email.
Dude, do you know how ridiculous that is?
That's so ridiculous.
Just getting caught like that and then claiming that that's what happened is one of the nuttiest fucking things I've ever heard in my life. And the fact that he, like, put it out as a draft, like, it's almost like with people like that strategize how to rip people off and strategize how to do shit like that, it's almost like they want to get busted. It's almost like they feel bad doing that. When it comes to something like that, like pretending that a guy that does probably, I don't even know if the guy exists, but the guy definitely didn't write him that email. Pretending that someone's writing you an email, and if you read the email, it's hilarious, man. No bullshit attendees, all capital letters. So the guy, the email is in the exact same style of writing. It's like, it's a really specific style of writing that I guess he doesn't realize. He doesn't realize how specific the way he communicates. Like, if I got an email from you, you have a style of talking and writing, whereas if I get an email from my lawyer, it's a different kind of style of email. This is his all caps thing for, like, emphasizing all caps. No bullshit attendees. Seriously, if these guys aren't real players who aren't willing to push in all their chips to the center of the table, don't waste my time. Like, and this is Mr. Crazy Pants. This is Mr. X. Like, he can't even tell you, like, who this guy is, what his qualifications are. He's not telling you anything. The guy's a recluse. He's a genius. And he's responsible for all my success. And if there's any one man that I'm jealous of in this life, it's him. Whoa.
It's so ridiculous.
What the fuck, man? You know?
How is looking at that broken toe?
Oh, the John Jones broken toe?
Yeah.
That was a crazy situation.
So
it was not good.
Is he, so did he break it like near the end of the fight, or
yes, he. It's, we think we're not sure. We only isolated when it turned over. We isolated at one point in the video it turned over, but we didn't isolate the exact break. We have like a theory as to what happened, and it seems like he was ground and pounding on Chael Sonnen, and he was just doing it so ruthlessly and ridiculously that his just pushing his foot off of the canvas snapped his toe backwards.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah, well, when you think about it, man, it's amazing that we don't have more toe injuries, because toes are these little tiny things, and they're getting involved in a fucking street fight, you know, kicking elbows and fucking skulls and stomachs and, you know, catching shins. It's like... the idea that this is the only time this has happened is actually kind of shocking.
I protect my piggies.
You should. It's a good move. But you can't fight with shoes on because, you know, the texture of the shoe would cut your face, go in your eye. I think you'd deal with a lot of abrasiveness, you know. I don't think you could really – I think barefoot is the only way to go. They could go with shin and instep pads, but that doesn't protect your toes. You know, your toes are what they are. They're weak, you know, and he snapped his toe backward. And it was nasty. So I'm interviewing him, and I'm congratulating him. They put his belt on him, and no one even knows it yet. He doesn't even know it. And then he looks down. So he's like, Stan, he's like, man. So he looks down. He feels blood. He goes, oh, my God, my toe. Like,
oh, God.
He immediately, like, was like, oh, my God. Like, his toe was nasty. I go, oh, okay. All right. So nobody did anything. That was crazy. No one was even anywhere near him. Like, I'm like, this guy's got a broken toe. So I have to – and because it's kind of at an awkward time for the doctors. Like, they don't know when to run in. Like, the broadcast is going on, and obviously I'm talking on camera. So they don't want to, like, interrupt. So nobody did anything. So I kind of realized that. Since I'm the one with the microphone and I'm talking to him, I got to do everything. So I said, hold on. Let me get him a chair. I got a chair, and I call for the doctor. Can we get a doctor in here, please? And then the doctor came running in. It's the only time I've ever had a call for a doctor in a post-fight interview.
How did no one not see that, though?
He's such a trooper, dude. He wanted to continue. I'm like, do you want to keep talking? We don't have to do this. And he's like, no, I'm cool. I'm cool. So I said, you know, tell me what was it like? You know, was it like all the trash talking? To get, you know, I don't remember even what my questions were,
right.
You know. But when it was over, you know, he actually was holding his foot, his one foot, and dancing for the crowd. Like, his toe was broken, and he was holding one foot, and on his left leg, he was hopping around, dancing for the crowd. And they were laughing and cheering.
Oh, disgusting.
Yeah, his toe got snapped, and he was laughing about it. He didn't even care. Then he ate a pizza. He ate a giant pizza. Sat down with his big-ass pepperoni pizza. Because, you know, he has to cut weight.
Right.
And then he went to the press conference, and then he went to the hospital after all that. Yeah, they kind of stabilized his foot. They put it in a brace. But apparently, you know, it's a broken toe. It's one of those things. It happens. You know, no one knew. I think it's... I think there's a theory that you have to get like a break taken care of within an 8-hour window.
Mm.
Yeah, so there was some criticism of that, like whether or not he should have been allowed to eat that pizza. Because
right.
If he ate that pizza, what if he goes into you need 10 hours, I think, from the time you eat till they let you go under
anesthetic.
But I don't know if they had to go anesthetic with him. I think they could probably go local. Unless they need to do a real serious ligament surgery.
Right.
I think they just went local. I don't think they need to put you out.
Right.
But that's a good point. Because if you eat and then you go and get anesthesia, you could throw up in your mouth. Like, you could have, like, real issues.
Yeah.
Anesthesia is a weird thing, man.
It's scary, man. I've only done it, I think, once. Where they tell you to count backwards or whatever. And then you wake up and you're like, where the fuck am I?
Yeah.
Like, time just... That's time travel right there.
The last time I had it done was my nose.
Yeah.
It's weird. But they're so good at it now, you know? They know what the fuck to do. It's pretty incredible. They can just pop you under and cut you open. You know, they had to figure that out. Back in the old days, dude, they just gave you a piece of wood. And you bite down on it and scream as they saw your leg off.
Can you imagine having to
do
that?
Could you imagine?
It seems like dentist. Are the last one to like figure shit out? Like they Dennis. Still they Dennis no Dennis
why?
Like because they still have to do some pretty gnarly shit to you. You know, like grinding teeth down and
yeah, but
and,
think
like,
of
pulling
what a
teeth.
Tooth is. What are their options? You know, teeth are these hard things. In
fucking
your mouth
lasers
that chew
or
food
something.
Up. Well, guys that get like fake teeth, that's what's really crazy that they can do that now. Perfect. They like screw into your. You have a fake.
Oh
one,
yeah,
right?
yeah.
Screw
yeah.
into your
titanium
skull.
Rod. I have a rod.
Screwed
into my
your head.
Skull, and Yeah. And you know what they're doing in Japan is that they're shaving them down into like these like little teeny fangs now.
Oh, God. They were doing that for a while.
Yeah, they've been doing it for a while, but I guess it's coming back like cat teeth or whatever.
Oh, God, Japanese people. Well, the good news is you could always get caps if you decide to be a responsible
right.
citizen
yeah,
one day.
Yeah, just get the...
But fingers. That cap shit is fucked up because they have to grind the surface of your real teeth out.
All of them.
So, yeah, so that's a wrap. You're not, yeah. no more real teeth for the rest of your life.
And they don't stay on that. Like, I know this guy that was talking the other day and they just fell out. Like, or, no, wow. it was... Yeah, he was just eating noodles, and it just fell out of him.
Diego Sanchez and Carl Parisian fought, and Diego Sanchez hit Carl Parisian. I believe he hit him with a knee, and his veneer went flying. Yeah, it was nuts, man. We thought it was a tooth. You know, we thought a tooth came out of his mouth and went flying. That was Diego Sanchez in his heyday would swarm motherfuckers. He had such tenacity and crazy cardio. He was like the first guy that did that to Carl. Caught him with a big knee. We thought it was a tooth and went flying out of his mouth, and we highlighted it on the slow mo. You know, yeah, that whole caps thing. That's a weird thing
yeah,
to not have your real teeth anymore. Just have this like. I'm always worried that society's gonna fail. I'm always worried. And if I had a mouthful of caps, I'm like, God damn it, I got to keep these fucking caps with me.
My two front
society
teeth.
Fails. We have no more dentists, and we're all going Mad Max style.
Yeah, my two front teeth. One of my teeth is only a temporary that I've had since I was like sixth grade or something like
what?
That. Yeah, I'm supposed to get rid of it, but.
Well, your whole face is temporary, yeah. really. Yeah. How long is that going to last?
Yeah, fuck that.
Everybody, you know, we got like 100 years on this planet. The whole thing's, everything's temporary. If you've had it since sixth grade, it should be like a contest for you. Let's see how long.
Oh, I know. It. Just might as well keep it.
Yeah, why not? Are you happy with it?
No. I do want to get veneers, but it's so expensive.
Does it work good?
Veneers?
No. Does your
tooth?
Fake tooth?
Yeah, I'm not supposed to eat things like apples. I'm supposed to cut up apples like a little baby and things like that. I'm supposed to not eat. But it's more just the staining issue of drinking coffee every day and cigarettes. So it's probably...
So you want to get veneers so that you could ruin them too?
No, so I can have it like replace them.
So you want to have like all shiny teeth? You
want?
To
I don't
like
want
a supermodel.
No, I don't want that. Like, hey, I got white teeth.
Like Cheryl
I just,
Teagues.
Yeah.
Is that how you picture yourself? Like you?
No.
In that bikini?
No, I just want to have like normal teeth.
Farrah Fawcett. How about that? Farrah Fawcett. That poster. Teeth. The big smile.
Isn't she dead?
Shh. Rest in peace.
Her teeth are probably.
Now. But back in the day, she had this big, giant smile. That Farrah Fawcett poster. You
yeah,
know the Farrah Fawcett poster.
Dead. Yeah, I can't believe
the
she's
classic,
dead.
Iconic
yeah.
Farrah Fawcett poster. Yeah, that's, you know, that's not good. She got cancer.
That sucks.
It does suck. Sucks hard.
I was looking at Pam Anderson's Twitter the other day.
Don't,
that's another one
don't,
I just
don't.
I miss.
Don't. There's a weird thing that happens with some women is that they go from being hot to being a monster. Mm-hmm. It's really weird. It's really weird, where they go from being like really hot to almost repulsive, you know, this like weird clinging on to like youth. Remember we had Angeline, remember we were talking about that in one of the recent podcasts, that woman who had billboards in LA.
Yeah. And what's weird is when we talked about her the other day, my friend had like text me that she face planted and he filmed it.
Oh no, he
and
didn't.
It was this right when we were talking about it. It happened.
Oh, that's so sad.
But,
let's play it.
All right.
It is. Oh, TMZ. She made TMZ though.
Yeah.
Hello, beautiful.
Oh my God, he's harassing her.
How are you?
Look, see how she covers.
Oh. You okay? You okay?
No. Damn.
That sucks.
Yeah.
That's sad.
She seems nice.
It's your fault. Well, it probably was his fault. She's paranoid. She's getting out of her car. This guy's got a camera in her face. She's freaking out.
And it's those high curbs. Those high curbs should be...
You should probably pay attention to where you're walking. But she's not paying attention because she's got a camera in her face and she's probably all weirded out.
Right.
Some guy's going, hey, beautiful. By the way... They don't identify themselves. They don't say, hey, I'm from TMZ. They just stick a camera in your face.
Right.
You know, and if you're sticking a camera in an old lady's face like that, she's a little weirded out by it.
Yeah. She walks around with that fan in front of her face.
I should say they do eventually identify themselves.
Yeah.
But not before the camera's already on, you know?
I fucked up my car in one of those curbs the other day. Those are like the double curbs. You know, I don't know if you've seen where it's like normal curb, and then there's like those really high ones.
So if you open your door.
Yeah. And that's exactly what it was like. So I had somebody open up my door. I'm like, what the fuck is that about? Why is that even allowed? That should be illegal. The state should pay for that.
I wonder if it has anything to do with like areas where they need to drain more water.
Maybe.
You know, or areas where that could be like a real issue.
Right.
Most likely that's what it is. Right. Got to make sure you don't hang out with dumb people that just open doors like that.
Right.
Make, you know,
so annoying.
Dumb people just open your door and slam it into trees and shit. Oh, sorry, dude.
Right.
Whoopsies. Whoopsies,
did
dude.
Did you talk about who did it to you?
Opie? I think Opie did it on purpose.
I think he did it
so he'd have something to talk about.
Did you talk about it on the podcast, what he did?
No, it's just nothing. He opened up there was a card that was picking him. He opened it up and it dinged my door.
Like really hard. But luckily it was like the day before your...
Yeah, my lease was up.
Yeah, your lease.
Yeah, so I really didn't care. I was like, it's no big deal. I got to bring it back. It wasn't even, he didn't even ding it. Just, it seemed like it should have, like made a loud noise.
Right.
Thunk, but it really didn't even leave a mark. But, you know, I guess he talked about it on the radio.
Oh, he did?
Yeah.
That's funny.
Yeah, I didn't get a chance to go there. This time I was in Jersey. I was staying in New Brunswick because it's too fucking far. I had too much shit I had to do when I was there. I didn't get a chance to do One. I gotta wake up and call them more often,
or just go to bed late. I was listening to the beginning part of the show. Like it's always Joey Diaz tweeting like about to go live, and I'm like, I'm in bed. How's it going, Joey? Good night.
Oh, Joey, when yeah. he's doing his Church of What's Happening Now.
Yeah,
yeah. That's you know what? When people have radios in their cars, that's gonna be the number one drive time show in the country. When people have radios in their cars that can play internet, which a lot of people do now, but it's not quite 100%. You know, it's not quite. You can get Stitcher. You know, Stitcher you can get in a lot of Ford cars, and, you know, a lot of cars are Bluetooth synced up to iPhones, and there's applications that allow you to listen to podcasts, like the podcast app on iTunes, which is amazing. I love that. That's where I get all my podcasts if I listen to them. But eventually... it's going to be even easier than that, so you could stream live. And when if a guy like Joey could do like an internet morning show and stream it live, just get him every day from, you know, 6 to 9. He was doing something about the national anthem. Didn't we play it? Mm-hmm. We played it.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Come on, man. That's funnier than anything you've ever heard on any fucking morning zoo ever.
Well, I don't know if you
saw... Get up, cocksucker! Get up!
Volkswagen just announced their new... crazy iBeetle. I don't know if you've heard this. It's a dock and an app for your iPhone 5,
right there,
and it integrates in with your iPhone, so you can just sit there and use your radio and like access things like Spotify and Stitcher, and you know, you're going to be able to do whatever, pretty much whatever you want to. But it's coming out in the next month or couple months, I believe. And it's like the first time that there is actually a car that I think has maybe worked with Apple, because they're using some kind of software that integrates.
Wow.
I'm not 100% sure about it, but the people are making it seem like there's actually some
that
kind of...
That looks like a three-pedal car.
What? That's my car.
Go back to that, though.
Okay.
Is that a manual transmission? Do they still make these things with manual transmissions?
The Beetle? Oh, yeah. There's manual. There's also the...
But that one that you saw there, the iPhone 5 one, is that a stick shift?
Yeah, that's a stick shift. Yeah.
I can't believe they even advertise that. I thought that, like, most small car companies, I thought they were done with that.
Oh, mine's a turbo, and actually they have a diesel turbo now, but it's also got the paddle shifters. But this is
Shifters means it's an automatic. That's what I'm saying. Like the clutchless these dual clutch boxes where you don't. I mean clutchless, like you don't press it yourself.
Yeah,
automatic clutch.
They still say you save money. It's just in LA you don't see it that much because
I don't think you do.
Well, gas. I think you're supposed to.
That's what I mean. I'm gas. I don't think you do anymore.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I don't think it's more efficient anymore. I think the manual is less efficient.
No, I'm sorry, it costs less when you buy
it. Oh,
a car.
To buy it, yeah. Oh yeah, definitely.
It's like $1,000 usually less.
Yeah, usually. Yeah, automatic transmission for a long time it was like a big amount. But I remember when I was a kid, like everybody wanted automatics. Like it was like a big deal. Like when you had a muscle car and you wanted to get an automatic. I have no idea why now. Like I had a muscle car that was an automatic and it was like so annoying. It's doing the shifting for you. Like if you're gonna drive one of those stupid old cars, you should be doing all that stupid old shit, like shifting your own gears. You know, you should probably roll down your own windows too.
You know? My friend did one of those like self-parking cars the other day at the dealer, yeah? And it crashed.
No! Yeah. It crashed?
Yeah, it just started like, it just like ran right into the car that it was trying to park in.
Oh, no. Was it a Lexus?
No, I don't want to say what it was.
Say it, bitch.
No, I don't want to say it.
That Lexus, that was the first one that invented it. That is a smooth ride. If you ever want like a sort of low-key luxury car, like it's not as in your face as like a Mercedes or as flashy as a Bentley or something like that, but you're inside that car, you don't hear shit. They're one of the most comfortable fucking cars. Lexus knows how to make like this weird sort of environment, this weird like soft, calm environment. Like that car will calm you down. You ever been in like a really expensive luxury car?
Just yours.
That old BMW? Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't
any
have
of your
one
cars
of those
are nice.
Anymore. Yeah, but they're not, I don't have any luxury cars anymore.
Yeah, that's true.
Luxury cars are weird. Like they calm you down. And this I drove one of those Lexuses. They're ridiculous. You don't feel anything. Everything you go over, it's like you're on a boat. Like you don't feel bumps and shit. It's like it figures out a way to smooth everything out. You know? Like you feel some major ones, but it's like slowly removing the feeling of the road from the driver. All this is electronic filters. Some people hate it, you know? Some people that like really like cars, like older cars, they love the fact that you feel everything. You know, you feel the road, you feel bumps, you feel like the steering is alive, you know? These cars today, like a lot of them, they're starting to make with electronic steering. So there's no difference. It's not more difficult to turn like under stress. It's not like you don't have a feeling of like what the car is doing as you're turning.
Right, yeah.
It's like a numb feeling. It's really kind of strange. Because
it is weird.
Yeah. Like, do you remember power steering? Like old car power steering? Like, did you ever have one of those old like American cars?
Oh yeah, I had the one, and then one time it went out, and you're trying to drive, and you have to like just sit there and try to turn.
Oh yeah.
Cars.
Oh, if it goes out, you're fucked. Especially if you have to park.
Yeah.
Good luck, stupid.
Yeah.
You're never going to figure out a way to get an Impala into a parking spot with manual steering. You have to have fucking John Rollo arms to pull that off. But the vagueness of that shit was so weird. Like, it would have, like, play, like, left and right. Like, serious play. Like, you could go straight. You could go like that and go straight.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Like, no problem.
Yep.
You know, it's like when you wanted to turn, you had to really crank that bitch.
I had a station wagon, a Ford Fairmont or whatever it's called, wood panels that was like that.
Well, it's also the designs that they made, although they were really cool, like the Dodge Charger. Like, they made some really cool designs in, like, the 60s and when they were making those big giant cars. But they're, like, the most un-aerodynamic cars you could think of. You know, that big giant funnel in the front of a Dodge Charger, like that Dukes of Hazzard car that they had. That front is like, it's like running with a bucket in front of you, you know, and the bucket's like soaking up all that air and you know, and it's not sleek at all, but they look so badass for the time. Nobody even considered the fact that the aerodynamics were dog shit. They sort of realized it has to be kind of low. It's better that way and it's flat and just, but they didn't like have air tunnels and shit back then when they would look at the way the air flew over the body and have a coefficient of drag rating they would give each car.
Yeah, I miss bucket seats the most, like being able to just like sleep in your car or fuck a girl in your car without having to worry about stick shifts, things in the middle, and cup holders. And
yeah, remember cars where you would just hit that lever and it would fully recline back?
You have a bed in your car.
Yeah, you have a bed. Too many people were fucking in their car. They noticed that the sex rate and birth rate was going up, so they removed those from the population. It's a government. It's a nanny state.
I do think eventually one day I want to buy like a legit van. Not like a minivan. Like one of those vans that your friend's parents always had that you were like, this is badass. It's like being in the future. Do they even make those anymore? What company was that made like the really tight big van?
Well, those are conversion vans, I think you're thinking of. But there was a bunch of them. There's Fords and Chevys and Dodges. But I think it's a weird thing that the van isn't popular when the SUV is. You know, people like SUVs because they're big. You can put a lot of stuff in them. There's plenty of room. But ain't nothing big like a van, son.
Yeah.
I mean, a van is like a giant truck, like a bakery truck with a couple seats in it. Of course they do. They make vans. Of course they do. They use them for work. We bought them or we rented them when we were on the road before.
That's right.
Do you remember we were in Houston? We were like, fuck it, let's get a van. Let's get a utility van. There was too many of us. That was back in the heyday, the initial Death Squad weeks. There was our numbers were vast. And we were going from town to town doing these gigs, and we'd bring like 5-6 dudes with us. We had to figure out a way to transport people, so we got a fucking cargo van.
Damn, I might buy a van. I might sell my Ford Edge and just buy a van.
It's not a bad idea because, first of all, you travel around with a lot of equipment sometimes. You know, you have plenty of room in there. And you could do anything you want inside. You could deck it out like an NSA van.
That's right.
Dude, you could have a fucking flat screen in there and the seat, so you could pull over places if you wanted to and watch television. You could have satellite on your roof.
We could have a podcast studio in the back.
Have a podcast studio.
That's an amazing idea.
We could have a mobile podcast studio. That is no problem.
Hey, if there's any TV shows that are still pimping shit.
Hey, let's think about that right there, about us developing a podcast studio van. Okay, custom van.
I'm for it, man. Honestly,
you know what's cool about that, dude? We could go anywhere with that.
Right. We talked about it once before doing one of those Silver Bullet Aerostream ones, like the small one.
Yeah.
But I think just having a really nice van, like a comfortable one, because my friend's neighbor had one growing up in the 70s, and I just remember it had a curtain that divided it from the driver. It was like there was like a bed where you could like take these two couches and put them together, and it made a bed, and it had like a little disco ball in there. It was pretty much like a shaggin' wagon.
Oh, you could totally get that.
Yeah.
But you could also get something where it's a party bus, where like say you pull up to places, like we say we could do a podcast and say, hey, we're gonna be, you know, at this place, we'll put speakers on the outside of the door and you guys can hang out and watch while we podcast.
Yeah,
quiet out there, you fucking savages, while the thing is playing. Like, you know how nutty that would be, dude? We had a van, okay, with broadcast speakers, and we pull up to like certain locations, like we set it up that where we're gonna podcast places. We have chairs laid out.
That'd be badass. God, is there any of those shows on TV anymore that do that shit?
Well, let's think about this. Yeah, we could. I know some people.
All right.
I know there's a dude who does a lot of car shows, man. He's the one that did rides and overhauling. My friend Bud.
I could sell my Ford Edge and then go to like a used car dealer, buy like a big van and have them pimp it out.
Dude, we can't really broadcast on Ustream from one of those fucking
things. Yeah, you can.
Yeah, we can't really get bandwidth high enough.
No, we could get bandwidth that's exactly what we're doing right now, which
really?
Is okay.
With cellular?
Remember, we did it at, we broadcast me, you, and Greg in Seattle eating, a couple of
months ago. Oh, that's right. We did that with your, but that was Wi-Fi,
with my iPad. No, that was just my iPad, cellular iPad.
Oh, I thought you were using the hotel's Wi-Fi.
No,
it wasn't.
No.
It was just the cellular. That's right.
Yeah.
That was one of those Samsung things, right?
Badass. Look at this. Look at this, dude. Inside of a van. Check this shit out.
Is Scooby-Doo live in that one?
Oh, look at that.
Yo, that's
dude,
fat.
There's IMAX just built into the fucking...
the wall.
And that's the side... Wow.
It's just mounted. They're wall mounted.
Yeah.
Dude.
look at that.
We need to get one like Scooby-Doo's van. Ooh, look at that. Pull that one up. That one with the door. Is that guy's got up? The
same
one. Douchey looking guy?
It's the same one.
Pull it up, though, that photo.
This one right here?
Yeah, no, just the photo of him at the door, in front of the door.
Look at that.
Oh, so that's... See, I was understanding how it was set up. Now I see it.
Yeah.
Because that's the door.
See, I would want it more couchy and loungy, but with cool stuff. You know what I mean? This looks more like a mobile workstation, which is cool. But I think it should
be more like
a chillaxing pad.
You're totally right. It should be like super comfortable couch and a flat screen and us with headsets. So like we're like semicircular. I like that aspect of it.
Right.
Semicircular and facing a monitor.
On the outside, it should look 70s and just tinted windows. So so it doesn't look like it's some... Like I wouldn't want it to be like, hey, everyone, look, you could steal this and there's a million Mac iMacs in it. And there's also urban people that might have some...
Hey, what that's over here fucking guy.
They have it spray painted. They have it all tagged up. You know what I mean? So it's like attracting, like, oh, there's probably some good speakers in this. You know what I mean?
If you had access to porn stars, and I know you do, you could bribe them to blow David Cho, and maybe he would paint something on it for us.
He's a badass. I'm mad, man, because
he just has too much painting to do. He doesn't have time to paint a van, but...
Well, I'm upset because... David Cho was on the Koreatown episode of Anthony Bourdain's show on CNN, and it happened. His episode was the same weekend it was supposed to be during all the Boston bombings. So it recorded like 30 minutes of news, you know, like DVR, and it just didn't record it. It skipped it. And so now there's like no way, I don't know how to get it.
That sucks. How is his new show? I haven't seen his new show yet.
It's pretty much just like his old show. He just goes to like different cities and stuff like that. It's pretty good though. I mean, I wanted to really see the Koreatown one because Koreatown's really cool. Like there's a lot of weird things in Koreatown. Mm. Like there's like a club called the Key Club where there's all these like doors and you have to have a key to get in, like a speakeasy.
Wow.
And there's a lot of weird karaoke bar places. There's Girlfriend. Have you heard of these clubs? I think they're called Girlfriend Clubs.
Oh, Girlfriend Clubs? Yeah.
Where these two girls just sit down and act like they're your girlfriend for the whole day?
I know a dude who went to one of those. I think they're – what are they called? There's another name for companion clubs.
Companion club.
Companionship clubs.
Yes, that's what it is.
It's really weird because they were pretty girls. They were essentially gold diggers.
Right.
And they were like hoping that they would run into some like rich dude there who would take care of them. Like there was a lot of that going on.
Right.
But there was also probably a lot of like low level planning for prostitution. And then there was probably some legit girls who just needed a job. And if I have to sit there and talk to this fucking loser for 2 hours.
Yeah. A lot of models, dude. I know at some of the clubs, like there's a couple models I know that Asian models, and they're like, no, you know, that's a legit job. Like, they pay you like $100 an hour, you know, just to sit there and talk to them.
No prostitution at all.
No prostitution at all.
So it depends on which one of the clubs you go to.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I knew a dude who went to one of those. He was like a sad case, poor guy. Couldn't get a girlfriend, never could make it happen. So he would go to these things and hang out with girls. I guess you had to pay him X amount per hour.
Right.
To sit with you.
I would almost go because I like Asian girls so much. And
are they always Asian?
Most of the time they are. Like, I don't
really
think. I think the only other one I've ever heard is Russian, but it's more mostly Asian.
Like, yeah, he said that like some of it was like married dudes would come in there and just didn't have anybody to talk to. They'd come in and talk to these young pretty girls, and then that's all they wanted, and then they would leave.
Right. Well, it happens in strip clubs every day, you know?
True. But they keep their clothes on these places, so you can pretend it's a nice girl.
It's so weird. Yeah. I kind of want to try. I like that shit. I like trying that shit because usually stories come from that shit. Experience comes from it. And then you think of things you never thought of before. You know, I like doing that weird shit. That's why I like trying all these weird massage parlors lately. Like, it's just weird to me that lifestyle even happens. You know?
Yeah, it's very weird. And what's weird is how taboo it is in this stupid country.
Yeah.
You know, that everyone's so freaked out about it. This is what we need, brother. We need to get an A-team van. Make it look like the A-team.
Oh, fuck yeah.
That's what it is. Have it exactly like the A-team van. That's the shit right there. And do everything that the A-team van has on it, like a winch, the big thing over the grill, the big metal shit. Actually, no, we shouldn't, right? We should come up with our own shit. We can't have the Death Squad cat on it.
No. I want it to look kind of like I was saying, like 70s. Like you would just drive by and go, like, oh, that's just an old van. You know
maybe
what I mean?
Scooby-Doo van. Let's look up Scooby-Doo van.
No, that's like fluorescent green with flowers on it and orange petal roses. There's a movie I saw the other day about these two prostitutes from Amsterdam. And they're the world's, like, they were like the oldest prostitutes ever.
Oh, jeez.
And they said that they saw more than 355,000 clients to date. And they're twin sisters. And there's a
oh, my God. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, they just retired the other day. But there's a –
they just retired.
Yeah. There's a Netflix movie all about them, a documentary.
There's a Scooby-Doo van for sale on Craigslist.
Oh. There's a lot of those because of the when the movies came out. Scooby-Doo 1, 2, and 3, they had a bunch of these, like, advertising vans.
So, these ladies.
These ladies. But anyways, it's a really interesting documentary. I can't think see if they say what it is. But their name is Louise and Martine Fokins. And they're sisters that have been prostitutes for over 50 years. And it was the most creepiest documentary because they talked about how they didn't really want to do it anymore. They were kind of, you know, like, I'm an old lady, I don't want to do this, but then they had to because they had no other choice because they had no money.
Oh,
and
God.
If you can look that up. but what was crazy is like she sat in the like window and she had to put on makeup and a wig on. She put her little cleavage out in these windows and they just have these chairs in the windows. I've never been to Amsterdam, so I've never seen this, where they sit in the window kind of like a puppy in the window. They're like, you know, making kissy noises and like, hey, why don't you come in here? You want to fuck? You know, like, and these old ladies were doing it. And they would still get clients, you know, and everything. Because, like, you'd walk by, like, these kids would walk by and like, hey, you want a fucking old lady?
This is what she said. This is what she said. I was a little tired. That's her quote. That was the first quote. I was a little tired, Louise told As It Happens host Carol Off in an interview that aired March 18th. The sister said that old age and arthritis were the main reasons for their retirement. And have written about their exploits in a new book called The Ladies of Amsterdam. The Ladies of Amsterdam.
Yeah, wow. I think that's the name of the movie. Awesome, maybe.
Fucking A, man.
And it was really interesting. Like, here's some photos of them sitting in their windows. See, like, here's like, the little window in front of the door.
Oh, Christ. Is that them?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
And they would sit there.
With a big jacket on like that?
It's called Meet the Fokins. Oh, my America's God. Oldest prostitutes.
Look at the gun on her.
I mean, they used to be,
she's built like Ralphie May.
Look at that. That's how they would walk down the street. And the documentary was kind of cute just because they were so such old ladies,
Oh, my God.
But it was also really disturbing.
They look like dudes pretending to be old ladies like one of those theme movies.
Like Benny Hills. Yeah, they look
like Dustin Hoffman.
Yes. Yeah, they do.
They look fake. Yeah, like two Benny Hills in dresses.
I know.
Wow. Man, the darkness that they must have seen.
How much people they fucked.
Just think of that, the weirdness that they must have seen in sucking 350,000 cocks. Oh,
Jesus. Just think of the herpes they have. They probably got mostly herpes.
That's why they were red. They're just a big herp.
It's like the Red Hat Club. They're all like sisters.
Their body just becomes like a battleground. And all the SIV, HIV, STD... syphilis, gonorrhea, AIDS, it all just battles it out together for dominance. See who wins. And meanwhile, she stays healthy. She stays healthy because they attack each other. They don't even go after the immune system.
It just grosses me out.
Imagine if that were your kids. That's when it would really gross you out. Imagine if you had a kid with a chick and then you weren't really that into it and you kind of like kept away from her and left and didn't pay child support and she went into poverty. And then you found out many years later that your kid retired as the oldest prostitute ever in Amsterdam. You know? Man, you want to talk about regret. That's someone's little girl. That's someone's little girl. That was someone's little cute baby that was so sweet. And everything she said was adorable. Oh my goodness, look at her. She's so precious. Next thing you know, it doesn't really end that well. This story, well, how did it end? Well, do you really want to hear the end? Yeah. Well, they became a prostitute for 50 years and sucked 350,000 dicks.
Both of them and they're twins.
God damn. That's hardcore, man.
I've always wanted to have twins.
Have you ever known someone that's been a prostitute?
A few of prostitutes.
What is that? Is that like that has to be one of the weirdest?
Well, the girl I knew in Ohio, that the first girl I ever met that was a prostitute, she was like a girl that tried to be a porn star from Ohio. She would come to LA once a month and stay there for a week and film a bunch of shit and then come back. But when she came back, I mean, she made all this money from being, making all these movies and fucking people. But when she came back, she was like, all right, I don't want to be a stripper out or anything like that. So she would just do, like, the escort shit. And, she did it quite regularly. And she was just making, I mean, she had more money than anybody I knew, I mean, she had, like, the best house in Ohio.
I mean, she bought Mike Tyson's place.
Of our age group, meaning, like, she had, like, a really nice fat place, right. Compared to, like, all of us who are, like, living, like, five guys in a fucking...
Right. It's kind
of
crazy, isn't it? It's crazy that you can massage people, but you can't massage dicks.
Right.
Because that's essentially what being a prostitute is. Because, look, people love to have sex, right? They love to have sex. But if you love to have sex and someone gives you money for it, that's somehow or another illegal. Well, people love to get massages. But the massage is only good for one person. Right. If you're a chick who loves dick and you're getting fucked, it feels good for you too. A massage is actually more like prostitution than even prostitution.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's just one person. You're not even having sex. Like a blowjob, I guess, is more like prostitution, or like a handjob.
But what if, like, taking, like, you meet a girl on a blind date and you take her out to dinner and you spend all this money on drinks and food and then you go and fuck her? What about just not drinking the food or eating and just giving her the money and skipping that part? Like, it's like, well, the same shit.
I think our brilliant nanny state government is trying to encourage friendship. They want you guys to really like each other. Why don't you really like each other? Why don't you be sweet to each other for real? Don't do it for money. You can't do it for money. Can't do it for money. You know why I can't do it for money? Because I can't trust that you're going to pay the taxes. That's why. And then also it looks bad. If politicians pass laws that say prostitution's legal, then people go, why do you want that, huh, just, Elliot Spitzer?
Just call it a better name, like companion kisses.
Companion kisses or on my dick.
Jesus
sack,
hugs.
Son.
Call it Jesus hugs.
Jesus hugs. It's a weird thing that something that people love to do, it's like a really seedy thing if you get paid for it. That's weird.
Right.
But it's not everywhere. Our country's attitude about it is archaic compared to the rest of the world. Completely archaic. Our country's attitude about all kinds of things, just about sex and nudity, and especially when it comes to women, man. For women, I think our country treats women that are into sex, that enjoy sex, they frown on them so much in comparison to, like, Canada. Like, Canada, like, girls that you meet from Canada, they're, like, way cooler about sex. Like, not, obviously, massive generalization, right?
Vancouver.
Plenty of really cool women in this country, too. But I've met a lot of them that were, like, super nice and friendly. And then you go, where are you from? And they're like, Canada. And you're like, yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Like, you don't have any weird hang-ups.
That happens,
like,
a lot.
The weird sex hang-up is, like, you know, girls worrying that guys are going to think they're a slut. Have you ever dated a girl, fucked her on the first date, and then, like, she was, like, your girlfriend for years?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, me too.
A lot of times.
Totally. Like, that girls think that that's a bad thing to hold back. No, it's not. I mean, it's not wise.
Yeah,
it's definitely not wise.
Actually, when they do it, I now think different about it than I used to. Because I'm like, oh, that was too easy.
Yeah, but you know what?
But I'm not going to be like, no, I'm not dating you anymore.
When you were young especially, it's so hard to find someone that you really enjoy. It's hard. Like, you're looking for pretty, and you're looking for what you're attracted to. And then, once you get to them, well, it's sort of like you start reading a book, you know? And you don't know what the hell the story's about until you get into the book. And so you meet them, and you go, wow, she's pretty, and she talks, and, you know, we're talking to each other, and, you know, you'd like to get her naked, and like to get you know you better. But once you start finding out what the story is, you're like, oh, okay, I don't like the story. I got to go. You fucking piece of shit. And then you have to try to find one that you actually do like, a story that you like. And the idea that you can meet someone and right away know that you like that story, sometimes you do.
Yeah.
Sometimes you meet someone and then it's fucking awesome from the moment you meet them. You, like, love being around them and you never have any problems. But for the most part, that doesn't happen.
Right.
Especially if you're a fucking idiot.
Right. Right.
We all know that one dude, at least, who will never have a relationship. He's just unfuckable. He just can't keep it together. Can never get a girlfriend. Like, he'll have one, they'll fuck it up, then he'll have another and fuck it up. We all know that one dude who just never has a girlfriend. Just can't keep it together.
Yeah. I'm trying not to have, the more older I'm getting, I'm trying more and more not to have girlfriends, even though I don't like being alone, but
right.
I also, it seems like my mind's just, I'm in a place right now where I'm trying to do a lot of stuff. You know
right.
what I mean? Instead of where back like 10 years ago, I'm more like, I just like couches and watching TV.
Yeah, you're doing a lot of stuff. I mean, you still go out a lot too, but you've got a lot of podcasts, a lot of projects, art projects, all those different things you're doing, the cat shirts and just doing comedy shows.
Comedy's the biggest thing.
Yeah, all of it.
Hanging out at the comedy clubs.
Well, that's another issue too. Because if you have a girl and you're dating her and you're out almost every night doing comedy,
right?
They're gonna get annoyed at you, man.
Yeah,
I've had girls that I was dating that got annoyed at me being a comedian.
And none of them want to just hang out at a comedy club.
Well, some of them don't mind for a little while. They don't mind, but after a while, they're like, "God damn it, dude! I can't hear you tell the same fucking jokes three nights in a row."
Right.
Like, can we go do something? I can't. I gotta work on my set. Oh God, you know, girl's got a job. She works all day, and then after work, you guys are supposed to get together, and you got to go do a set.
Go to Panera Bread and get some yoga.
Yeah. Then dating someone that's a comic, though, that's no, right. Highly unrecommended as well.
Right.
That's one of the hardest things in life, man, is finding someone who compliments you. Like, what I mean, not like says, you look so good, but I mean like someone who, their style of being a person and your style of being a person, like, mesh up well.
Right.
It's very difficult to find.
Cheese and wine.
Because I think about that sometimes, like, you know, we unlikely couples that we know. You know, we know so many couples where, like, you know, yeah, I guess somehow or another that shit works. Like, that, his thing and her thing together, like, I wouldn't want to be with her, and if I was a girl, I would want to be with him, but together, they figure it out. You know?
Yeah, there's some weird couples I think the best couple I know is Tom Segura
Tom
and Christina.
I was going to say that too.
like that, they seem like they were designed for each other. I think they're like the kind of couple where you're going to find out that they're related in a couple of years. You know what I mean? Like, there's something to it that it's like, this seems a little too perfect.
They're so friendly to each other. It's so nice. But if you stop and think about it, if any one of our friends, not Ari, he would get grumpy. You wouldn't want him to be a girl.
No.
Duncan wouldn't mind, but he might snap at you too.
Yeah.
If you take off some of our best friends and turn their personality into make them a female,
I'd be
would
the best
you date
one.
Them?
I'd be the
you would
best
be
one.
The best one? You'd be the best girlfriend?
You, I'd be such a fucking slut.
You would be a dirty bitch that I could let my friends fuck. That's who you'd be. I could bring my friends over and they would fuck you. And be like, whatever, I like sex. Woo! Yeah, I don't think I've ever dated a sex... I've never been successful dating another comedian ever. I dated one during the open mic days. I dated this girl. Mm-hmm. But it didn't work out.
It would be... in your head, it seems like it would be the best one. I've dated a few comics, but it always was fun, like, running material by them because they, you know, and stuff like that, and them helping you. That was really cool.
I
think
avoided
it would be,
some.
But the downfall is, like, if you break up with them, they're in your fucking sandbox with you for the rest of you. You know, like,
well, that was Ari's situation.
Yeah,
you know?
Mine with Esther. I still have to fucking see Esther. Like, love seeing Esther now, but for a while. And Tony, you know, what's weird with Tony Hinchcliffe is that Tony dated her for like a year and a half.
Before you?
Right before me.
Oh, my goodness.
I didn't know Tony. And so then when I met Esther, I had no idea.
Did you ever fuck her and go, did Tony fuck you like this?
No. No one fucks her like I did.
Like the way you do?
Yeah.
Do you spit in her mouth?
I bury
her.
Do
you get crazy? Do you go 50 Shades of Grey on her?
Oh, fuck yeah. No. She's pretty intense in bed. But no, like the thing about it was is that I then met Tony after we started dating because I had to, like, Tony was like calling her still and doing that kind of shit where like it would be 4 a.m. be like, who's calling you? And I'd be like, oh shit, Tony, who's that Tony guy? So then the one of the first Brody podcasts I did, Brody Experiment #1, I think, I invited Tony to be on the show. Didn't even know the guy, like with Benji, just to kind of make it so, like, all right, now we know each other. All right. So
that's
no more 4 a.m.
Tony.
Calls. Yeah, that's how I knew Tony. And now me
so
and Tony
you
are like
set
best.
That up so that you could talk to him yeah. and tell him not call Esther
well,
and for booty
was,
calls?
Well, there was a lot of things going on. One was that he was like doing that. Two, it was kind of like, look, I don't want some angry guy getting pissed off at me. You know, that's a comic. You know
oh,
what I mean?
I see.
You know what
I
mean? I was trying to be like, hey, this is me. Nice to meet you. Yes, I'm dating Esther now. Hey, welcome, you know.
You can't fuck her anymore.
Right. But it was weird that now we're like, me and Tony are like great friends. And
he's awesome.
Yeah, he's a good guy.
Yeah, he did Indianapolis with me. He killed too.
Yeah.
It was really fun. He's a good dude. Like I said several times on the podcast, one of the things that I really love is seeing the new guys come up. It's so fun. It's like, I love that there's pretty much a never-ending supply of stand-up comedy. It's like you're always going to have more people. There's always going to be new ones coming up. There's always going to be people that are getting better. It's just, it never ends. Luckily. I think that clubs need to have more open mics, though, man. I think that's a real issue with stand-up comedians. Ice House needs one for sure.
Yeah.
But it's a real issue to have a developing class of upcoming guys. Like, there's only a few clubs that develop people from the ground up. The Laugh Factory, good luck. You got to wait in line on Tuesday. You got to get there at 9 a.m. and sign up. Oh, shit.
And then they put your material on YouTube without telling you.
Yeah.
Fucking, I was like, thanks. What the fuck?
Well, it's a good place to work out. He doesn't put my shit up there.
Yeah, of course not.
But it's because I told him not to. They were going to, you know, he wanted to. And I said, you can't, no filming me, don't put it on the air. Come on, man.
I know somebody that was like, look, dude, that's not cool. Take my material down. They took it down, and then the following week they put it back up.
I'm not surprised. Yeah, I'm not surprised. They probably make you sign some shit.
Did you go to the improv last night?
No. What was it, the improv? No.
It was the last night that bar was open.
What bar?
The bar in the front. They're tearing all that down and making it a steakhouse or something.
What?
Yeah, they have a new bar that's in the back of the club, I guess, and they've extended it, and they tore down the stage too, and it's gonna be really weird decision making there, though. So
whoa,
I don't know what they're doing.
Well, maybe they feel like they could do good money as a steakhouse. They actually have really good food there. Is it gonna be the same kitchen?
No, I think there's, it's either that they're franchising a place out, which is what I heard originally. But then last night I heard a steakhouse, so maybe they're just trying to, like, hey, that's I would eat there every day if it was a steakhouse.
Like a Fleming's or something like that? Like, yeah. Open the front to a steakhouse? Huh. Right. That's a badass idea. You know, that's a great move, though, to have a nice restaurant right next to a comedy club where you can come in, say there's a 9 o'clock show, you go in at 7, have a nice meal, and then go right over and watch a show.
Or just having a good kitchen. And, you know, like some of these comedy clubs are just like fried everything. Or you look at the Ice House, they actually have like chefs there that are like, oh, no, this is actually really good.
Dude, I had a steak from the Ice House. It was fucking jamming. It was really good.
It was good.
Yeah, the Ice House is badass. It's, for, you know, there's only like, I mean, how many clubs are there in Southern California that have good food that are also comedy clubs?
Flappers
has great food. The Improvs, almost all of them have good food.
Yeah.
They all have good food. They all have like a decent, at the very least, decent.
Right.
You know? That's such a great idea. Like, I'm obviously not a non-comedian, but if I was a non-comedian and that was a job where I could have a meal and go somewhere and go see a comedy show, fuck, what an awesome night. You know? Especially if, like, you can go see someone who's good.
Yeah.
We were having this conversation about how many stand-up comedians there are. And I think it was me and Burr, me and some other comic. We're trying to figure it out. And we started out by saying there's probably like altogether, like maybe 2,000 in the whole country that are professional comedians, right?
That go on the road and everything.
Yeah. Did you think about 2,000?
I would say 2,000. Yeah, that's a good number. I mean, there's a lot of open micers, but you can't count those. But if you're talking about even the smaller guys that are still going on the road, playing a couple clubs or doing a couple things, 2,000, unless you count like maybe like some guys that do like the college circuit, which they're only playing bars in college areas, you know, like not real comics, but they sell themselves as comics or something, you know. I bet there's like this whole group of comics that aren't in the comedy circle at all. That do like shows.
Well, they're still comics though, right?
Yeah, I guess so.
They just don't hang out with us.
Right.
I mean, at a certain point in time, you know, a lot of comics become like, they just become like theater acts. Like, okay, here's a perfect example. Brian Regan, hilarious guy, brilliant comedian. When was the last time you saw Brian Regan come to a comedy club and fuck around? You know?
Yeah. No,
you never see him. But he does these big theaters. He sells out theaters. And so I think he just does all of his writing and knows what's funny and what's not, and just works it into his act as you know, as he does them in these theaters.
I was talking to we had Jim Florentine on a podcast the other day.
He's a great guy.
Oh, great guy! I'm going to be working with him tonight also. And he was talking about how what's the guy from East Coast that a really funny comic, but he doesn't like to fly, so he doesn't do any West Coast shows. We talk about him all.
Otto?
No. The one that Mike B works.
Mike B?
Yeah, the Mike B.
Oh, Nick DiPaolo.
Nick DiPaolo.
He doesn't like to fly?
Yeah, I guess Nick DiPaolo doesn't go, like, he doesn't go past Chicago. He doesn't fly past Chicago. So he only does clubs on that side of Chicago. And because I was like, why don't I ever see Nick DiPaolo, like him anywhere? I never see him anywhere. But it's just because I don't live on that side of Chicago anymore. Right. So, but that's somebody I would like to see, you know. Like, start touring around.
He should also do a fucking podcast, because Nick did a radio show with Artie Lang. Mm-hmm. And does he do a podcast now?
I think he still does.
Nick should never be on regular radio. I mean, he should be a guest on regular radio. Like, you know, if he has to do Howard Stern or something like that, absolutely do it. But Nick is a guy who you want completely uncensored. And the fact that he was doing that Artie Lang show, I would watch it sometimes on DirecTV, and I was like, I know he has to hold back here. Like, he shouldn't. He has to be in an environment where there's zero holding back. You know, just let him rant and let him say what he wants whenever he wants to say it. He's hilarious. He has, like, really right-wing beliefs about a lot of shit that, some of it I don't even agree with, but I think it's fucking funny as hell. But you're never going to get those on a regular radio show. You're just not going to.
Right.
These, like, some guys get stuck in a situation where the very thing that makes them awesome is the thing they can't do when they're on the job. You know, like being offensive, saying ridiculous shit, swearing, and being real sexual or whatever it is that's funny that you're talking about. You can't do that if you're on a regular radio show. You literally can't do it. You know, like, you're so limited. Like, the way they would have to describe things, I would watch them, like, dance around bad words and shit. I was like, God, this is so pathetic. It's like a slave gig. It's like you're censoring yourself. You're talking, you're ad-libbing, but you know you can't say this, you know you can't say that. There's rules to this gig. I'm on the radio talking, but I can't be me.
Right.
I can't fully be me. Can't use all my words. Because if I do, everyone's going to get so sad. He's going to make certain sounds with his mouth. They're going to really piss people off. And it's a weird thing because it's an intent thing. Because you can say a word that means exactly the same thing. Like, you can say, apparently a woman was arrested because she was having sex with men, and then while she let them put her penis inside her vagina, she would start biting their face. You could say that, but you couldn't say, this crazy bitch, what she'd do, she would fuck these guys, and the moment they stuck their cock in her, she would bite down on their face. You couldn't say that. But that's the right way to say it. You know, I mean, you could say having sex with her, but what if you wanted to say it? Stuck your cock in her. You should be able to say that too. Like, it's the same goddamn thing. You have the same image in your mind. Exactly. But one of them can get you thrown in jail. One of them can get you, like, a $250,000 fine. Not only that, you could say that word. You got to say it in a different way. Like, you could say cock-a-doodle-doo. And you could say it on the radio, and no one could say a goddamn thing. You could say pussy cat. And no one could say a goddamn thing. You could have a nice little pause in there. Pussy cat. And no one could do anything.
Right.
There's nothing you did wrong. You can't go to jail. We are apes. We are so fucking stupid. As a culture, like, that is one of the dumbest fucking things about people today. The bad word thing. It's unbelievable that that's still around. I mean, and it's so ridiculous that it's one of those things that because it's around and because it's so silly and we all have to follow it, it makes us more prone to following ridiculous rules. It makes us easier to govern, I think. I think it makes us easier to control. Because if you can get people to not swear all day at work, you go, you know, on the job, you know, I don't swear. I might say something by the coffee and check out the dumper on that fucking broad. You know, you might say something like that while you're going get a cup of coffee in the kitchen, but it'd be completely inappropriate. And it's limited to dark, shadowy areas where no one's around. But the fact that you don't do it every day, you can't always be free with the way you communicate. You're trying to portray something at work. You want to have a professional image. Can't use those words. I'm more likely to buy a car or something from a guy who swears. You know, if I think I could hang out with him, it's like he's going to talk normal.
Oh, yeah.
Some fucking weirdo wants to tell me about the various features and he can't even throw a shit or a fuck in there. Come on, pal.
Yeah, I would always
How
say,
cold is this fucking
go with
thing
the cusser.
Get? It gets fucking cold. That's what I'm talking about, man. Yeah.
Some places it's a little weird. Like, I had this guy at CVS. I was buying beer and it was Miller High Life. And there was, like, people behind me and stuff. And he goes, dude, I've always been saying, wouldn't that be cool if they actually had weed in this beer? And I'm like, dude, you work at CVS, please. Don't talk like this. And, like, it was really uncomfortable. Like, I just wanted, like CVS.
Sir,
not so.
I would like you to be professional right now and not address me as if you were a normal person.
Because this is where I buy medicine, and I don't want you to be like that.
And I'm buying my Miller High Life medicine. Miller High Life.
Miller High Life.
That's not a good tasting beer.
No, it's a great beer. It's a champagne.
You're on drugs. That shit's bad.
You ever had Miller High Life?
You know what I listened to the other day? The Roth Show, David Lee Roth,
mm-hmm.
Our good friend, by the way.
Yeah.
We were allowed to say that. We talked to him for fucking hours.
Oh, yeah.
We hung out with him. David Lee Roth's the coolest man on earth.
We've actually, and total, talked to that guy almost probably like 5 hours.
Yeah, because the Comedy Store night. Yeah. Well, the Comedy Store night was even weirder because we weren't filming. He was just hanging out. But that's how cool he is.
No, but you were filming. I have it all on tape.
Yeah, but I'm saying we didn't have like a big camera. You know, we didn't have like some gigantic setup like this where he knew he was on a podcast. But I was watching his podcast, The Roth Show, which is pretty fucking funny, man. First of all, he does it all in overalls. Like, he does his podcast in overalls. He wore overalls in here, too, when he did the podcast here.
I think that's all he wears now.
What are you eating?
Where do you buy it?
There's only two of us, and you're eating. What are you doing?
I'm trying to eat my breakfast. I'm eating trail mix.
Trail mix. But he was talking about beers and that he loves, like, Budweiser. He likes the taste of Budweiser because when he drinks, like, these like organic beers or microbrews or what have you. He said, you're missing a little bit of the nuclear waste. Yeah. You're missing a little bit. There's a chemical taste that's just missing from that.
Well, it also doesn't taste like what you grew up thinking beer tastes like. Beer had, growing up, there was just light beer and beer for the most part. There wasn't, like, that much fancy stuff going on.
That fucking stuff that I have here, that, what is it, Jamie? Black Butte Porter? Who makes that shit? Do you remember? Some micro brew, some small. It's the best tasting beer I've ever had in my life. It's delicious. It's like chocolate. I mean, it's so good.
Like Guinness?
It's like this. It's like that, but better. It tastes better. It's like a lighter Guinness, but it's like Guinness. But I had it. I had a steak one night, and I had that shit. And I was like, this is the best beer I've ever drank. I've never had a beer that's so tasty. It's incredible. And I didn't think anything of all those micro brews before that day. I just didn't. I didn't think. I'm like, it's beer. It's beer. I like beer, but I like Heineken. Heineken's delicious to me. If I'm eating something and I can get a nice cold Heineken, I think Heineken tastes fucking great. But I didn't think that like a micro beer would be a totally different sort of experience. But some of them are, man. There's some badass motherfuckers out there making some crazy beer.
My friend Shane is just won like first
place. Your buddy
place.
From Columbus?
Yeah, he just won first place in this big beer thing, and now this. Now this local bar is serving his beer all year because he won first place.
Holy shit, Shane's a beer mogul?
Yeah, he started in his basement. He's been doing it for a while, and he has like he built his own bar in his basement with it all has his own beers in it.
That's
like,
hilarious.
It's cool.
Can you get him to sell us some? Will he sell us some beer?
Oh, sure.
Can you ship it? Can you ship it?
Sure.
He can bottle it and everything. He does the whole deal.
Yeah.
Dude, let's get a tap. Let's get a keg here with Shane's beer. Can he make a keg?
Probably, yeah.
How does it mean? How does he ship it? How does he sell it to them?
I would have to ask him if he can even do it.
The reason I'm saying is, like, if he's selling it to restaurants, he must be giving them a keg or something if they're on tap.
Well, I think if what's that bar in Columbus, like brewery, Barney? No, not Barney's, but the one right there on High Street. There's a brewery that it's they're selling it, so they might be actually brewing it at the bars. Like, shit, I wish I knew the name of it.
Huh. Oh, so it's one of those places where they're making it in the establishment and then chilling it right there, so there's no travel at all. Oh.
Barley's. Wow. Barley's Brewing Company, I think is where it's...
Well, that's a real popular thing now, and I swear to God, until I had this Black Butte Porter, whatever the hell, I probably should fucking say the name of it for these guys, because it's so goddamn delicious. Let me find it. It's in my Instagram, bitch.
Yeah, here's actually Shane winning... Here's photos on Barley's company. And there's Shane and his friend. And, anyways.
What is the name of his beer?
Let me try to find it. I'll find it.
I can't quit Instagram now.
Oh, Hoptic Nerve Eye. PA.
Oh, that's a great name.
Yeah.
I can't quit Instagram, but sometimes I do wonder what the hell I'm doing.
Oh, and their tap is a big eyeball.
It's a big eyeball?
Yeah. You know, like the things that they pour, like they hold down. It's just a big eyeball.
Okay, it just says Black Butte Porter. God damn it.
Yeah, I'm more of a fan of Jack Daniels lately, which is a horrible thing because I just got into Jack Daniels like the last year of my life. I've never been into Jack Daniels. But now I just only like to drink Jack, and I don't even like drinking beer anymore, but I'm trying to force myself to go back to
this
beer.
This is the beer. It's a Deschutes Brewery, Deschutes Brewery. And on my Instagram, there's a photo of a glass of it, the first time I ever had it. So apparently, now I know, that there are a lot of really interesting beers out there. Because I went to another place that had one of those like local beers on tap in Austin, and I've done that a couple times, a couple different places, and had like some of the local stuff, and some of it's good and some of it's okay, but this stuff is pretty fucking badass. I think there's a bunch of different people doing a bunch of different things when it comes to beers now.
Well, there's like IPAs. There's like, yeah. You know, I can't tell if I like IPAs. There's a place by my house called Tony's Darts Away, which isn't even a dart place. They just only sell IPAs. And it's just all this handmade beer from California. And there's like, I don't know, like 100 different beers. And each one says like the alcohol content. And some of them are like ridiculously high. Like, yeah. That's illegal, you know? But, I've tried all of them and they're all okay, but I don't think like as a just a drinking every kind of day. I'm not like that's how I drink. I like light and easy to drink and not.
Stanhope drinks Miller Light.
Yeah, I'm just like that. I'm the same way. I like Miller Light, Miller High Life. I like more of a Miller guy.
Nonsense.
Like my Texas folk.
Blah.
Friends.
Shit. It's kind of fucked up. And one of the things I was thinking about when I was in New York made me really think about how strange it is that California doesn't have a public transportation system. You know, when I was in New York and I was watching all these drunk people walk down the street, I was like, yeah, you know, you can just get fucked up here and just get in the subway or take a cab, you know. In California, if you get fucked up, you're driving fucked up or someone's driving you.
Right.
It's a weird thing that we don't have a public transportation system.
I mean,
we have
buses and they have like the subway, but it's like very limited. Like I can actually go from North Hollywood to like to the Staples Center, and I've done it before, but it's you know, I have to like ride my bike or drive to the train station and drop it off and then go underneath. But it's so honestly, I'm freaked out about doing subways in Los Angeles.
Well, there's weirdos and vagrants and fucking dangerous folks. And earthquakes.
Yeah, that's just like a big fear of mine.
More likely the people, though, than the earth moving. But yeah, I mean, it's something to think about. The BART in San Francisco is the craziest one.
Yeah.
That's the one that's under the ocean.
Under the ocean. Fuck that.
Yeah. You know how I found out about that? We did Fear Factor there back in the Disney. And I got a hold of some sort of pot brownie or a cookie or something like that. It was whatever it was. It was an edible and it was extra strong. And I didn't realize how strong it was until mid-ride on the BART. My ears were popping. I was like, why are my ears popping? And my friend Matt said, because we're underwater. And I go, what? Like, I didn't realize what we were doing. We were in Oakland, and we had to take the subway to the city to have dinner, this BART, whatever the fuck you want to call it. I literally had no idea this thing went under the ocean. So for 5 minutes or however long it takes to make that trip from Oakland to San Francisco, I was shit in my pants. I mean, sweating, wiping my hands on my pants, holding onto that bar and like the steel bar in the middle of the fucking thing, wiping my hands on my pants, just shit in my pants going, we're underwater right now? That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my life.
Well, that's how I felt when we went to Japan at one point because I overthought it. And I'm like, we're over ocean right now. Like, there's a lot of ocean. Like, we can go down and there's no emergency landing right now.
You know
we're just in ocean.
You're better off on ocean than you are making an emergency landing on the ground somewhere.
Dude, I saw this fucking thing about colossal squids, a documentary about. Have you ever seen colossal squid before?
Giant squids are called, yeah.
Yeah.
Are they called colossals or giant?
The colossal is the biggest one. They're bigger than giant squids.
There's another one?
Yeah. I think it's bigger than a giant squid.
Whoa.
And I think, like, the biggest one, I think, was it 7 feet tall? But they're, like, dissecting this colossal squid, and, like, the eyeball alone is the size, I think they said, of a bowling ball. Or something like that.
Oh, my God.
It is.
Dude, there's a photograph of one that they caught.
Yeah, the colossal squid exhibit is the exhibit of them catching this squid. But check this, like right here, this eyeball. Like,
dude, they can be 12 to 14 meters long. That's 46 feet long. That's fucking crazy. Stop and think about how long 46 feet is. I guess that, though, includes the tip of their stupid little stringy things they have hanging at the end. That shouldn't count for body mass. That's like their hair. Oh, my God. Look at that thing. Is that real?
Yeah.
What the fuck, dude? Is that a cut or is that where the top is?
Look at this.
That's not a cut. that's where the top is. Yeah. Oh my God, that's its eyeball?
Yeah.
Is that real?
Yeah.
Do you know its eyeball developed independently of the human eyeball? Its eyeball developed independently of the human eyeball and strikingly works with the same principles because they deviated from our, you know, whatever, wherever life came from, you know, whatever primitive life that came from the ocean that resulted in all mammal life on the planet. It all started out as ocean life. At one point in time, that was the first life before there was life anywhere else. And they're like related to mollusks. They're related to, like, slugs.
And what's really, like, here, the difference between a colossal squid and a giant squid is that colossal squids have these, like these pretty much claws.
What
and
is that?
These claws are on this circular thing. And when you see them, like, play with it, they're like this. And they just turn them around like a record. And they're like, these things can rotate 360 degrees. And it's just like... like they're on like these rotating things, like they could just spin really fast.
Wait a minute, pull that picture up again. So their suction cups have claws inside.
Yeah, their
of
suction
them.
Cup has claws. And
all
this
of
part,
them?
Yeah, and this part right here, it turns in 360 degrees, so it can turn in 360 degrees.
What?
It's the craziest documentary. It's on Netflix right now. It's called The Colossal Squid, I believe. And
dude, that's a terrifying animal.
It's
those fucking
so scary.
Teeth are nuts.
What's so funny is that I was. Really tired, laying on the couch. I'm like, all right, I need a movie to put me to sleep because I have to wake up early. I'm just going to put on some nature movie about fish or squids.
Look at this picture. Look at this. Look at these things.
I know.
Pull that picture up. That one's insane. Oh, my God. They're like shark teeth.
Yeah.
They're like, you know what it's like? It's like a giant cat claw that's coming out of those tubes.
Right. A giant one.
Well, I told you that the legend of the Kraken, that's one of the things that they've discovered. Look at that fucking thing. Oh, my
and
God.
And it spins 360 degrees, too.
Oh, my God.
It's like on this weird plate. It's so weird.
That is so strange. So it just hooks in no matter where it goes.
Yeah, and that's they showed, like, animals that have been attacked by it, like sharks and stuff like that, and the shark's just all torn up from it because it just latches in and just rips.
That's fucking insane.
Yeah.
The ocean is so scary.
Yeah, so I put in this video to, like, go to bed, too, because I thought, like, you know, like, oh, a squid, it's quiet. It's not going to make any noise. It's going to be a quiet documentary. And then the whole time I'm just hearing all this shit, like, we are now taking the eyeball out. I'm like, oh, this is the most fucked up video I've ever seen. One of the most fucked up videos. Nature videos.
Yeah, that's a new thing. I thought they were like octopus ones. They were just suction cups. I didn't know that they're really like claws.
Yeah.
Not only if you chop one off, don't they grow right back?
I don't know.
I know that's the case with alligators. With alligators, you chop their leg off and throw them back in the water. They just fucking heal up and start growing a new foot. Creepy cunts. That's kind of cool, though. Be nice if that happened with people.
Yeah.
Chop your hand off, you just grow your hand back.
Chop your dick off and wait for a bigger one to grow back.
Yeah.
Keep on
chewing
it.
Imagine if that's how it worked. If every time you chopped your dick off, it just grew back bigger.
Yeah. Or you just, it was like a chance that it would.
And you got all the way to like 10 inches, and you're like, not satisfied.
Yeah, it's like
I'm
a gamble. Chop it
off. It's like a six-month wait. And then the next time it grew shorter. And you're like, oh my God, I fucked up. I should have stuck with 10.
Right.
Like after a while, you cut it off so much you develop scar tissue around your nutsack. Your dick just doesn't grow to full length. If there was a time, if there comes a time where we really can engineer the size of various body parts, people are going to look so strange. I guarantee you it's going to happen. I mean, it's just a matter of time before someone has giant, like, those foam number one hands. That's what their hands are actually like, you know?
Yeah.
Genetically modified people. Sort of like how we have tomatoes that you can sit on a truck in the hot sun for a day and they don't go bad. You know, you get to transport them for weeks, they don't go bad.
It's like the duck lips.
No, because that's fake. They're shooting shit into their lips and it looks stupid. This is you're going to be able to engineer big, giant, plump Angelina Jolie lips. You're going to be able to just get those. There's going to come a point in time where there will be no ugly people. There'll be no unattractive people because we will engineer what people look like. And it probably at first it'll just be rich people. But then it's going to eventually get to a point where it's not going to matter. It's going to be cheap enough like a cell phone where the majority of people have it. But then I think we're probably going to, I think evolutionarily, we're probably going to, like, start wanting to fuck ugly people. You're like, you know what? You know, I need a robust girl with a fucking thick waist and a face that can take a punch. You know, we're gonna not like this artificial, attractive, perfect symmetry. I bet our genetics will come to recognize that this artificial symmetry is probably not good for the genome for competition. That it's like it's been hijacked, so it will like veer towards like ugly people or thick people. Or you like
a friend Tony's sister? Hey,
hey,
hey.
Exactly.
Ghost Shark. Have you seen Ghost Shark?
What's that?
Ghost Goblin. It's a goblin shark.
What is it?
I don't know. It's pretty. Let's check this
it's
out.
It's a movie?
No, this is. Happens.
Is this real?
Yeah.
Come on. Oh, a goblin shark.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
It's got like a mouth inside of a mouth.
It's a creepy fucking cunt. What it is.
It looks like it's a skeleton.
Ugh. Jesus Christ. Dude. The ocean is so gross. I mean, it's so fascinating, really, because you might as well be in outer space.
Right.
It's actually probably crazier than outer space. Oh, Jesus Christ.
Is that scary?
What a fucking monster.
It's kind of like there's a monster inside of a skin of a shark that's using the skin to just, like, hide.
It looks like a moray eel coming out of his mouth. I wonder if that was the inspiration for Alien.
Yeah, looks like it, right?
Wow, look at that thing. What's it biting?
I think it's just like the camera crew's like equipment. Like they're just trying to get it to like bite something.
Oh, so they're sticking it in front of it?
Yeah.
The shark frees itself. Oh, his God. Mouth reverts to its original shape. Oh, it got stuck as it bit that pipe or whatever the fuck that is. Oh. You know what's really crazy about the ocean is they don't even know what's down there. They kind of know, but there's so much room for discovering new species. You know, they discover new species on the land every day. Like, there's always, like, and they actually found, like, really recently, within the last decade, like, a big animal in Vietnam that they didn't know existed. It was, like, some kind of an antelope or something like that. Vietnam is so dense, and there was, I think it was, like, 10 years ago they discovered this fucking thing. It might have been even less than that. But we've, you know, there's people that have been to almost every section of the world, or at least once, you know, been near these parts of the world. And although there's some cryptozoologists that believe there's a bunch of species to be found, it's probably a fairly limited number. But the ocean, man, we've only discovered, I think they said that they've explored 10% of the ocean. Like, so 90% of the ocean, they don't know what the fuck's going on down there. They have maps of the depth, and they know like how far down it goes and what the contour of the earth looks like down there. And they know like the topography of the bottom, but I don't think they know all the species.
No, they find new species every year. They find tons of underwater, mostly underwater species. You know, there's of course a lot of insects, there's a Darwin bark spider that they just found like 2 years ago, which is crazy. Looks like a cyclops eyed spider almost.
Is there a place that gives you is there a website that has like new species you can track them? That'd be kind
of
cool.
No, but if you put in like top 10 species of 2012 or.
Oh, there is. It's species.asu. Yeah. National Institute for Species Exploration. It's Arizona State. And they have the top 10 new species of 2012. Wow. Interesting. Remember that squid? We played that before. That squid that they found near one of those oil rigs, never seen before, right, with crab legs. Creepy fucking monsters. Gigantic squid with crab legs. Crab legs and big cunty shark tooth dick-like things that it just wraps around stuff and rips it apart.
Fuck that noise.
Yeah, fuck that noise indeed, man. It's fascinating, though. And we're, you know, if we found that, what's really interesting, if we found that thing walking around on Mars, people would be shitting their pants. Like, look at this fucking thing. It's got these claws. And it would be the subject of every science fiction movie that people went there and they brought back a probe and apparently it had seeds of this squid thing.
Like a venom head crab. Have you ever seen one of those?
What is that?
It's like a...
What? The fuck is that? Dude, that's like a fist.
I know.
That is so creepy. And that's on land. Is that a spider?
It's like a head crab.
Dude, that looks like something from Half-Life. Is that Half-Life?
Yeah.
You fucking cunt. You're such a dickwad.
Actually, I thought it was real, too. At first, I thought it was real, but then actually, I don't think I should play this anyway.
Yeah, if you found a squid on the moon, you'd be shitting your pants.
Or you'd say it's an alien, make a movie about it.
Can you imagine, I mean, like, just an elephant on the moon? People would be like, what the fuck? Like, if elephants didn't exist and they found an elephant on the moon, it would be like the most studied thing ever. We would be going crazy. But, you know, it's on the ground. We're like, yeah, I've seen that. Not that interesting. I went to the Santa Barbara Zoo the other day.
How was it?
Oh, Santa Barbara's beautiful.
I still haven't been to that zoo yet.
Dude, you got that. Let's go to Santa Barbara someday. Let's have a like a field trip day.
We should.
It's beautiful.
Do a show at night there.
Yeah. It's so nice down there. First of all, Santa Barbara is like the perfect weather. People are less stressed out because there's no traffic. And they're like, it's a noticeably more chill town. A lot of people go to move there when they give up on that Hollywood dream. They're like, yeah, I've had enough of this. But they have a zoo. Small zoo, like you can get around it pretty quick, but they have fucking gorillas, and they have a they call them bachelor. They have like bachelor groups that they hang out in, and they had this one gorilla, and it was his birthday there, so they giving him some cake or something like that. And you get up right close to that thing, and you're like, what a ridiculous creation by nature, this redonkulously muscular, giant little human thing, 5'4". 298 was probably actually like 400 pounds, I think it was. 398 pounds. Just the gigantically muscular thing that eats broccoli. Just has giant fangs just to keep you the fuck away while it eats broccoli. And to fight for pussy. That's why it has giant fangs. That's what it's for. They don't kill anything. You look at the mouth of a gorilla, like a gorilla's like fangs, like let me Google gorilla fangs. Gorilla. You would swear that thing eats people. Yeah. Oh, my God. Look at that fucking picture.
Yeah.
You imagine? That's an 800-pound primate. Those giant silverbacks, especially the ones in the wild. Not like those zoo bitches eating birthday cake. Bitch, ain't got no birthday. There's no birthday in the Congo, you fuckhead.
Birthday cake.
Yeah. This is one of my favorite pictures ever. These two gorillas leaping at each other in the middle of a fight.
All right.
Wowza. Yeah. They didn't even know that gorillas existed until like the early 1900s.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah. We think of gorillas as something that we always known about. But let me see. Discover the mountain gorilla.
Yeah. What did they think it used to be? Just like Vikings or something?
It was just a... I think it was just a rumor. I don't think it was a real animal. I think people hadn't been to the area where it exists, and so they didn't know, man. Yeah, okay, 1902, man.
Yeah, that's crazy.
The discovery of the mountain gorilla was 1902. Now we think about that, we're like, that doesn't even make sense to us. That's 100 years ago. It's right. 111 years ago.
Is that just because maybe we didn't have really good telephones at the time, that so people would, like, in countries that had gorillas were like, dude, we're getting eaten alive by these big gorilla monsters.
Listen to this. Nearly 2,500 years ago, an expedition from the Phoenician merchant city of Carthage to western coast of Africa accidentally discovered a group of wild gorillas. Upon first encountering the gorillas, African locals shared their name for the giant ape with them, the rough translation of which meant hairy person. So this is 2,500 years ago. These people wrote stories.
These hairy people are real assholes.
Expedition from Carthage wrote stories. Some ancient explorers have described gorillas as primitive hairy people. They've also been referred to as anthropoid or man-like apes. Wow. This is nuts. This guy spoke of another guy in the 16th century spoke of them. So it seems like what happens is these people go and they see these things, but it's so rare that like a Westerner ever went there that no one really had an opportunity to study. Like 1902 is probably the first time like civilized folk got on a big metal boat and made it all the way the fuck down there, you know? Did they even have metal boats in 1902? They must have, right?
Metal boat.
Probably, right? They probably figured that shit out. Those big giant metal boats that they have now, like the Titanic style.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. That, yeah.
They had that in 1902?
The Titanic, right?
Well, the Titanic was in the 20s, no? What year did the Titanic go down?
Okay. Well, how was Leonardo?
What year did the Titanic go down?
1912.
Wow. 1912. Do you know how science fiction that must have been in 1912 to see this enormous, like, building that floats on the water?
I wish we had better video of the Heidelberg or whatever it's
the
called.
Hindenburg,
yeah.
That's not that big a deal, though. That's just a Zeppelin.
The visual of that? I mean, just the video that they had of that was so intense.
Yeah, pull that up. Pull that up, the Hindenburg disaster. Well, that's when they realized they couldn't do that anymore. They thought they were going to be able to, like, fly people all over the world. This is going to be wonderful, these giant gas balls. But they didn't realize that when those things go down, holy shit, do they go down hard. They can get hit by lightning and just burst into flame in the middle of the sky and everybody dies. That was a strange time. I told you that I have a reoccurring dream. I've had it several times, and I know I talked about it once before. I had this reoccurring, and I wrote it down. I wrote down the story that happens in my dream. But in my dream, there was 1,000 Nikola Teslas. It wasn't just one guy. It was like 1,000 guys. And the thing that I wrote was actually called, like, I wrote a piece called 1,000 Teslas. And it was the 1940s. It was the 1940s that I keep having this dream, the 1950s, rather. Like, they're in the era of those big Cadillacs, those big fucking things. And that was still going on, but they were flying. Oh. And that people were having, like, these flying Cadillacs. They were like that. And there was dock ports all over the city, these platforms where you would pull in with your giant flying Cadillac. And it was a really strange dream because New York City, it was probably New York City or wherever it was that was, you know, some large city, Chicago maybe, but whatever the city was in which it took place was very much like you would expect a city from the 1950s, but much more advanced technologically. Like, there was just some new shit that we don't have yet, and there was a lot of blimps flying back and forth in the sky, and there was a lot of air travel. It's like people had kind of completely abandoned traveling with cars on the ground, or, you know, gotten rid of most of it in my dream. It was a really weird fucking dream. I've had it a couple times, too.
Do you know, does it take place in L.A. or is it like Hill City?
I don't know.
Or...
It all takes place in man-made creation, so it's impossible to say where it's taking place in this stupid dream of mine. But...
And, like, were you, like, walking out? And,
no,
like...
I'm watching. I'm an observer. And the dream is always, like, the concept is that there's 1,000 Teslas. It wasn't just one super genius invention guy that figures out. Is this Back to the Future? What is this?
Yeah, this is sort of the flying cop car. Man, like, see, that
yeah, it's not. It's what it was like in my dream was, like, it was very... What's that movie, The Rocketeer? What was that movie?
Oh, The Rocketeer, yeah.
Yeah, you remember that movie? How, like...
Jennifer Connelly.
Yeah. Oh, how hot is she?
She was really hot.
Was. Don't say that.
Her eyebrows took
off. Don't say that! They did a good job of that movie of capturing that era, the Rocketeer's era, but also having this crazy technology, which was like, if you looked at those science fiction magazines of the day, that was the one thing that they sort of, that's how they did it. Like, rockets and, like new ideas and jetpacks and stuff, they all, like, looked like they belonged in that time. They didn't have the sleekness of a Cadillac STSV, you know? They had that weird sort of rounded, bulbous look of the 1950s era. Or Rocket Man was even earlier than that, right? Look at that thing.
What happened to make it crash? It just crashed, or was there a fire that started?
That's a good question.
I don't even remember.
I think it caught on fire when it was in the air, and then it crashed. Does it say?
Let's see.
For 3 hours, the dirigible circled the landing field.
They're called dirigibles. That sounds like something you do in your underwear. Like your dick leaks. Like, I got a dirigible in front of my underwear, dude. I can't. I got to come out naked, because if she sees my underwear... Especially if you have white underwear, you're taking chances.
Dudes
who buy white underwear, stop it, okay? The front of your dick, your piss flap, is always going to be leaking. You don't do that good job of wiping your ass. If you're walking around with white underwear, you're a silly person. That said, really, you should take better care of your ass.
Right.
You know, you should. Maybe if you just... if everybody had those Japanese toilets in every place we went to. I went to a video game thing the other day to this company to they're doing for my new show. Like they're putting me inside of a virtual reality situation.
Oh, cool.
It's pretty badass. But when I went there, they had one of those Japanese toilets that cleans your asshole.
Oh.
Blows fog on you.
Somebody posted this one that they have in Chicago in the airports now where it has like saran wrap that every time you flush it, it flips around like this protective layer that goes over the toilet seat with like a saran wrap type thing. So you always have like a fresh thing.
That's nice.
All right, half a minute.
Now, if they can only figure out how to do that on airplanes.
Oh,
those are the stankiest, dankest fucking toilets you ever shit in. Oh, there it goes. Look at it. Oh my God, look at it. Just in flame. Oh my God.
The people running.
Listen to those people scream. Oh my God, look at that thing being flames. Oh my God, look at those people running out of the bottom of it.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Oh, you watch people burn to death on this thing. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Holy fuck, man. You can see people moving in the fire trying to get out.
Yeah. The first right here.
Oh my God, that is insane.
Beyond help, perish in the flame.
Dude! You know, that's the first time I've ever seen that in full.
Yeah, it's pretty. There's a, I think even a better version of that. That might be the only one, but maybe I saw a fake one.
Holy fuck.
I swear there was a different one.
Watching people die, even people that died a long ass time ago, when you know you're watching them die, that's not fun. It creeps me out.
Yeah.
Especially that way. Those people cooked. That was a weird ball of fire, too, man. That was enormous. That's like a building that's made of fire. And it's, you know, I mean, it literally was that big. It was like a giant skyscraper made of fire.
Yeah.
Yeah, whoops. We don't do it that way anymore. Hey, you live, you learn. Come on. You gotta crack a few eggs to make an omelet. All right, you fucks. Thing's over. We're going to bring this sucker home. Brian and I started out 3 years ago fucking around at my house on a laptop. And now 3 years later, it's become some strange thing that's probably pretty much out of our control now at this point. It's kind of got a life of its own. No one thought it was coming, and neither Brian nor I planned on it. I mean, I never would have thought we'd have a studio, or never would have thought it'd be almost a million people downloading some of them, and sometimes more than a million. It's real weird. And this show that we did this weekend at the State Theater sort of highlighted that. And man, I tell you, I don't even know. I don't even believe it's real sometimes. It's very strange. When Joey Diaz went on stage at the State Theater, I swear to God, I didn't even believe it was real. I wish, I'm kicking myself that I didn't film it, because he went on stage and that place fucking erupted. It was like Elvis came into the building or something. It was nuts, man. Joey Diaz in New Jersey. And, you know, everybody knows he's from North Bergen. They went insane. It was like they were so happy to see him. It was, for real, it was one of the most incredible sets I've ever seen anybody have. It was beautiful to watch. Just watching him go out there. What the fuck is going on? Look, we just appreciate the fuck out of it. We never saw this coming. And everybody keeps saying the same thing. Hey, don't stop doing this. Don't stop doing this. We're not going to stop. Don't worry. We're not stopping. And all the people that you say, you know, that tell us it changed their life and that finally you have a positive influence, and we appreciate the fuck out of that. We never saw it coming, but we appreciate the fuck out of it, and we take great responsibility for the whole thing. I'm the male Oprah, okay? That's how we're doing it. But not I mean cash-wise. I mean trying to positive, but not always positive. Sometimes I'm, I get a little cunty.
Oh, you have a delicious puss.
Hey, settle down. So, thank you, everybody. Thanks for everything. And we're all a part of this fucking weird thing. And I know that sounds very pretentious to say, but that is the case. You know, there's no getting around it at this point. We can't really dance around it or call it anything other than what it is. It's a very happy piece of circumstance. And we enjoy it all. And we appreciate the fuck out of all you people that come out to these comedy shows. It means the world to us. If you want to go see Tony Hinchcliffe, Brian Redband, and the lovely Sam Tripoli. They will be in Sacramento this weekend, Friday and Saturday, at the Punchline in Sacramento, and then the great Cobbs Comedy Club in San Francisco, one of the best comedy clubs on the planet Earth, as is the fucking Punchline. They're both pretty fucking jam in Northern California, filled with some of the coolest people on Earth, too. Northern California is where it's at, bitches.
I have to go in and do radio. Remember that?
Yeah, that's always a good time. Hey, thanks, folks. Thanks for everything. You. Winnipeg is basically sold out, you fuck. So is Vancouver. So you snooze, you lose. And we will see you tomorrow with the great Ari Shaffir. And also tomorrow with our pal, Amy Schumer. She's one of the other ones that's successful in a relationship with a comic. We'll tell you who that comic is tomorrow if you tune in. No, dun, Anthony Jeselnik. Ah, there you go. I let it out. I don't like fucking teasers. I don't like spoilers. I don't like cliffhangers. But I like you, you fucks. So thank you. Thanks to Ting. Go to rogan.ting.com. Save yourself some money. Stamps.com. Code word J-R-E-N on it.com. Code word Rogan. There you are. There you be. Here we are. We'll see you soon. All right. Better wrap that up good?